We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
The title track of one of my favorite albums of all time, U2, Unforgettable Fire, on this U2-sday on Bernie and Sid. So, every morning before the start of this great show, I stand on the corner of 3rd Avenue, and I tape this Instagram story about the upcoming show with me and Bernie. By the way, good morning, Bernie. How are you? Good looking.
Sup, yo.
Good to see you.
Hey, nice to see you, man. By the way, Juliet loves that song.
Is that true?
Yeah. One of her favorite all-time songs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She's
got good taste. That is a great song.
Yeah,
thank you,
man.
So I do this Instagram video, and usually it's just, as I just explained to Juliet, it's just a promotion, what's coming up on Bernie and Sid, blah, blah, blah.
So it's very well done. You're out in the street.
Thank you.
It's gritty.
Yes.
This is New York, and this is what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show.
Right. But I very rarely editorialize. It's kind of like Bernie and Sid coming up today, Bo Deedle, Rich Lowry, Bill O'Reilly, blah, blah, blah. But this morning I woke up and I already had so many people in my crosshairs. So many.
Oh, boy.
I know. It's going to be a rough morning for some of you folks that I had to editorialize on my usually very banal, trite Instagram morning video.
Okay, fair enough. You're entitled.
So can I give you the two guys?
First Amendment, free, you know, freedom of speech.
Right.
Two guys? Yes, please.
Well, the first is a writer for the New York Post. Now, to be fair, Bernie, if I'm going to be fair, this guy and I have history. He has called me out for being a lowlife, junkie, Neanderthal, all these things.
Really?
He really has. And he wrote a column in today's New York Post congratulating the New York Yankees, who did get a big win last night over Toronto, congratulating the New York Yankees for being supportive of outfielder Aaron Hicks, who went into manager Aaron Boone's office yesterday before the game against the Blue Jays and said, Skipper, I don't know if I can play tonight. So distraught over the, and again, a very tragic homicide. Bernie and I are both going to say that, very tragic. Although we have some details on that too. Aaron Hicks decided, I can't play baseball tonight because some 20-year-old kid who I didn't know named Dante Wright was killed in Minnesota. So the Yankees, we have that Aaron Boone cut here. Bernie, here's the skipper, Aaron Boone, on the conversation between him and Aaron Hicks. We'll get that after. So first it's Aaron Hicks and the Yankees. First it's Ken Davidoff of the New York Post. And second, of course, is the guy that took the day off, making millions and millions of dollars to play baseball, and that's Aaron Hicks. Ken Davidoff and Aaron Hicks, to me, are part of the real problem in this country and not part of the solution.
Yeah. Oh, well, listen, Aaron Boone was no better in what you're going to play in the clips.
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely no better. And by the way, that's part of the reason probably why the Yankees won, because Hicks just sucks this year.
That's right.
So maybe we need more nights of him just sitting on the bench.
That's funny. You're right about that. He's been awful. Here it is. Here's Yankee skipper Aaron Boone on the meeting with Aaron Hicks yesterday before the Yankees beat the Blue Jays.
He's just with all that's going on in Minneapolis, he's having a tough time right now. And, had a conversation in my office, and he just felt like it was best to not be in the starting lineup tonight. And I certainly support that.
Oh, God.
So here is the tweet that I sent out at 4:48 this morning, right before I did my Instagram video. You can find all this stuff at Sid Rosenberg. That's my stuff. And, of course, we put it on our team website, too, at It's Bernie and Sid Instagram, at Bernie and Sid on Twitter. Hey, Aaron Hicks, play the effing game. Any writer or host in this city congratulating Hicks or the Yankees is a moron. I don't see pro athletes asking for mental health days when innocent cops die in this country. Enough is enough. And by the way, there were three cops shot last night in Georgia.
That's right. You've had, I believe it's almost 100 cops shot so far this year. So far this year, you have a cop right now out on Long Island in critical condition as a result of a routine traffic stop. The video came out yesterday of another cop who was just brutally executed. Again, a routine traffic stop, as this was. And, of course, we'll get into it a little bit more later. But, again, if you don't comply, you might die.
Yeah.
He wasn't an innocent baby, this guy.
No, he didn't comply. I mean, he was stopped for expired tags. And I saw some lady on MSNBC this morning go, well, you know, it's very difficult to get tags in the COVID era. And I agree with her. All the kid had to do was say, guys, COVID, I couldn't get my tags. Instead, he resorted to pushing the cop, getting back in the car, trying to drive away for the millionth time. If you don't comply, you may die, as tragic as that is.
Just do not resist arrest. But he had warrants out. He had warrants for aggravated assault, aggravated robbery, a gun possession. He was out. He was wanted by the cops.
You never know that, because every picture you see this morning is him holding a little baby looking like an angel.
I know. There's another picture, if you go in the right spots, of him holding a pistol.
Right, like Michael Brown was doing.
Exactly.
Same picture.
You got a lot of fake news out there. No, they waited a long time. They did some checking. He was sitting in the car. He had time to call his mother. And while they were checking, they found out, yeah, he has all these priors, and he has a warrant out for his arrest.
That's why he tried to take off. And
that's why they tried to arrest him, because of the tags.
No, and again, we're not making any excuses for Officer Potter. You can't shoot somebody when you're trying to tase them.
You can't make a mistake.
No, you can't do that.
That's very bad.
And the kid didn't deserve to die. But again, there's a lot more to this story than the media allows you to see. They just make it seem like, here it is. Another one. And by the way, the initially in that video, the cop that was restraining the young man was a black guy.
Exactly right. The female was the one who shot, as you pointed out, and her partner was a black guy. He's the one who screwed up the arrest. He had the guy's hands behind his back, had the cuffs out. I mean, where was the training?
No idea. So there it is, folks. New York Post writer Ken Davidoff, New York Yankee outfielder Aaron Hicks, and New York Yankee skipper Aaron Boone in the crosshairs of Bernie and Sid early on this Tuesday morning.
Do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? You got someone to blame. You say one love, one life,
one life,
one need, the night. One love,
one love,
get to share.
Continues on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. The very sexy Mary Blige with Bono. We're making the U2 hit one at 6:42 on your Tuesday morning. We will talk to Bo Deedle today, talking about great cops. He's coming up, as he always does, 7:25 every Tuesday morning. We'll go to the state of Minnesota. My first cousin, Norm Coleman, he'll join us at 8:40. And Charlie Kirk, who made his debut on WABC yesterday, will stop by at 9:25. It is timing, though, when you consider, Bernie, that literally 10 miles away, that's it, in a car 10 minutes away from where they're holding the trial for George Floyd, and this kid gets killed 10 miles away. You know, you talked for the last couple of weeks about get ready to board up your cities and towns, and at the very least, this didn't help.
No, not at all. Excuse me. Right in that area, of course, they're already cocked and loaded, if you will, for violence. So it was in a terribly inauspicious a venue where this kid was killed by the cop, you know, making the mistake and all that stuff. But look, it's Democrat run city, Democrat run state, Democrat run federal government, Democrat Department of Justice. You have all these things. Now, she deserves due process. What was funny was the city manager yesterday came out, and he's a black man. He's the city manager. He runs the police department, among other things. And he actually said, listen to what he said. Take a listen to this and tell me what you think is wrong with what he said.
All employees working for the city of Brooklyn Center are entitled to due process with respect to discipline. This employee will receive due process, and that's really all that I can say today.
So the police officer will receive due process.
Now, right, but that didn't happen.
Now, the mayor has said this. This is what the mayor actually said. Take a listen to him.
We cannot afford to make mistakes that lead to the loss of life of other people in our profession. And so I do fully support releasing the officer of her duties.
Okay, so there you go. You have a disagreement, right? He says release her,
right.
Forget due process, forget an investigation, forget anything. And the other guy says, no, due process. Well, okay, they have a disagreement, right? That's fine.
Right.
No, that's not fine.
Not fine.
The city manager got fired.
Is that
he
right?
He got fired for saying that she deserves due process. And he's a black man.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah,
it
is.
They got her. There's nothing she can do. She's on videotape shooting him. You hear her say, holy S word, I just shot him.
She screwed up.
She's done.
Big time.
Right. So, you know, you could due process, great. That she's going to be guilty. There's no question about it. But there's no way that guy should have been fired. That's ridiculous. I saw somebody on MSNBC this morning take the police chief, who actually relieved this lady of her duties yesterday, take him to task and said him getting rid of her was not enough. Because he actually tried to make an excuse for this lady when he said she meant to grab her taser, not her gun. So the guy fired her. He got rid of her. And even that wasn't enough because they say, yeah, but he kind of sugarcoated it by saying she meant to grab the taser, not the gun. What do these people want?
Yeah, I know. They're out for blood. This country founded on, the jurisprudence of the legal system is based on a presumption of innocence. It's in the Constitution. But Joe Biden even said this yesterday. Listen to him.
We got to wait and see what the investigation shows and the entire investigation. You all watched, I assume, as I did, the film. Which is fairly the body cam, which is fairly fairly graphic. The question is, was it an accident? Was it intentional?
Now, Rashida Tlaib has called for his impeachment over
I'm sure.
those comments, and others have joined her. And she even put out a tweet. Well, we'll talk about it a little bit later. We don't have all the time in the world right now. But she goes, no police reform. This was intentional. This was not an accident.
Stop it.
I mean, you talk about inciting violence.
I mean, this lady has been a cop there for nearly 30 years. Again, Rashida Tlaib, do you think she woke up that morning and said, I'm going to go kill myself a black man today?
Just look at the tape. You think she ran over there to assist handcuffing the guy, thinking he was going to jump in the car and then have to shoot him?
No, of course not. Now, again, that doesn't mean she shouldn't be held accountable and charged with, obviously fired. I don't know what legal ramifications can happen here. She could be charged with homicide.
The family can sue, obviously,
and they will.
You know.
And they'll get $30 million like the Garners and the Floyd. Actually, Garner got $8 million. Floyd got $27 million.
They've got a lot of money coming to them.
No doubt. So again, and we'll do this every segment, New York Post writer Ken Davidoff, New York Yankee skipper Aaron Boone, New York Yankee outfielder Aaron Hicks in the crosshairs of Bernie and Sid on this Tuesday morning. We will continue to break down the story as only we can with the truth and the facts. The truth and the facts. On a local note, we spent the first 20 minutes, I think, as well as anybody. We'll do it all morning long. Nobody does it better than Bernie and Sid. Talking about this tragic shooting in Minnesota. Some of the lies the media trying to pass on to you this morning. And some of the folks that we're angry with here locally, which include New York Post columnist Ken Davidoff, Yankee skipper Aaron Boone, and Yankee outfielder Aaron Hicks. But I always feel better, Bernard, when I see folks in this city who don't do something on a regular basis, tell folks like me who do something on a regular basis that I'm not scared. So what am I getting at? I take the subway every day. Now, I'm not scared because I'm a relatively tough guy and I can handle myself, except, of course, if five guys with a knife come after me. But to say that, like Mike Breen said just a couple of weeks ago, he's actually scared now to go home on the railroad after a Knick game. To say that New Yorkers shouldn't be scared, or it's not our nature to be scared, when the crime is so out of control, tells you that these people saying those types of things don't do what we do every single day. Is that fair?
Completely. The idiots. I mean, I saw some of the teases last night in the local news. Hey, listen, a lot of people scared to go on the subway, and a hint, it's not from COVID. Well, we've been reading about it and watching people getting pushed on the subways with these vagrants and these bums and these lunatics. Of course it's not the COVID. It's the animals on the subway down in the underground. That's who it is.
Right.
Everybody's afraid. Come on. What do you mean it's not COVID? Of course we know that.
And they should be afraid.
And of course, that idiot de Blasio, this moron, this complete and utter fool, he said this.
I've talked to New Yorkers all over the city. They are focused on this city coming back. I do not believe New Yorkers live in fear. It's just not who we are.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, but when you have a fleet of seven SUVs with cops and guns and
right.
Probably submachine guns, yeah, you don't live in fear.
Yeah,
you go down below and swipe your Metro card, and you're standing on the platform, and there are no cops. And it's funny too. During one of the reports, and we'll get to it later. Actually, Channel 7, Bill Ritter, mentioned that this is what they actually said, as though it's some sort of like. Yeah, it was very insightful, epiphany that they had. People actually feel safer when they see police on the platform. Oh, well, really? Is that right? Well, then why did we defund the damn police by $1 billion, Corey Johnson and the city council and Mayor de Blasio? Why did we do that? Why did we stand outside in front of Fifth Avenue and in Brooklyn and write BLM on the ground wanted to fund the police when people want the freaking police?
And it's going to get worse now, again, with the George Floyd trial going on and this kid Dante Wright being shot to death just 10 miles away. This is going to give that BLM lady, the one who just bought a house in Beverly Hills, California for $1.4 million with your money, you morons. This is going to give her an even louder voice.
Yeah. Turns out more than, as you know, Sydney, more than one house. Now, three houses in L.A. and now another one in Georgia with a private airstrip. And she was looking at properties in the Bahamas where none other than Tiger Woods owns property. So ultra expensive properties. Yeah, this Patrice Cullors, this Marxist lady or whatever the hell it is. She's going to definitely now she's got a big voice already. But maybe she's been exposed. Maybe some of the hypocrisy will come out that, these Black Lives Matter. It's nothing but a scam.
Well,
they're domestic terrorists who want to transform the country into a socialist, communist nation.
No doubt.
And this is the way it works in Marxist, communist countries. The leaders, it's do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's always the way it is.
Well, about 50 seconds before we go into the 7 o'clock hour here, Bernie, you've been saying that when the verdict comes out with the George Floyd case, they'll be boarding up all of our places right here on 3rd Avenue in New York City, the whole country. And we did have riots last night, which Lowry's got a great column today. Great column today in the New York Post. Obviously, in Minnesota, in Portland. Now, even before the verdict comes out, because of this other shooting, do you think it's time for New Yorkers to, I'm serious, to start to board up and get ready for a lot of violence?
Well, yes, I think they should be prepared. I heard Greg Kelly yesterday. I got to give him credit for this. He actually urged his listeners to call their Democrat representatives and say, will you accept the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial? Either way,
wow.
Get him on the record now saying, will you accept the verdict either freaking way?
That reminds me of the election. Will you accept
because, of course, the jurors, it looks bad. The tape of the video is awful. But we saw all these mitigating factors, including drugs in his system, including the training manual. Who knows what the verdict is going to be? So if why are we having a trial if you're not going to abide by the verdict? I mean, this is part of our legal system, right? Due process and a trial by a jury of your peers. I'll get him on record right now saying, will you accept the verdict? And then when the riots come, you have to condemn the riots because, well, you said you would abide by the verdict.
Bo Deedle, Norm Coleman, Charlie Kirk, Lydia Reports, Beat Bernie, all to come your way. A very exciting show. Cops ridiculed, spit on, three officers shot in Georgia last night. And yet, because of this tragedy, which should result innocent young man's death, this country now has all the more reason to continue to disrespect the courageous and brave men and women in blue that continue to protect us on a daily basis. Again, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of interactions between cops and folks every day. And it takes one shooting like this, where training was probably the issue, to turn this country upside down, which is very, very depressing. Very depressing. And that's why this morning, Ken Davidoff, sports writer, New York Post, you're a moron. Aaron Hicks, outfielder, the New York Yankees, go play baseball. And Yankee skipper Aaron Boone, stop with the pandering. Nobody wants to hear it. Yeah. Nobody.
Stop being a Aaron Hicks, a drama queen.
Right.
Get out there and do your job. Be a man.
Right. Now,
grow and pair. We're all dealing with it. Nobody's staying home from work.
Are you kidding me? Could you imagine?
Go to work.
Could you imagine if some Hasidic kid got killed in Borough Park and I called Chad and said, hey, listen, Jewish kid got killed today. I'm not coming to work.
Exactly.
How would that go?
Exactly right. And no matter how tragic, it doesn't matter. Do your job.
Go to work.
It was an accident.
Look, right.
There are over, I think there are like 10 million interactions between police.
Yes, millions.
And suspects. And by the way, I think 400 whites are killed by the police. 200 blacks. So more whites than blacks. These things happen.
Right.
These things happen.
I will tell you, there's a lot more white people. So that's stat.
Or whatever. But blacks commit a disproportionate amount of the crime.
But they
respond to that.
You're not allowed to talk about that.
I am allowed to talk about it.
Damn right
I can cite stats and facts.
Right.
John Katzmatidi said, tell the truth.
That's what we do.
The truth.
We're the only ones that do that. So again, for you folks out there today, you men and women in blue, with a great cop, a hero, Bo Dietl, coming up in about 10 to 15 minutes, Bernie and Sid have your back. Despite this awful tragedy, and this lady police officer is going to get what she got. She got fired, and she should be in trouble. We're not defending what she did, but just another excuse for people to crap all over the cops, and we are not going to take that, not Bernie and Sid.
And no, just keep in mind, everybody, keep in mind, the kid had a warrant out for his arrest. He was a thug. He had a gun crime for aggravated. He was out. I believe he was arrested for aggravated robbery and was let out on no bail for it. That, among other things, among other crimes, he had a rap sheet, lengthy rap sheet. He had a 2-year-old kid. Yes. And he worked in a fast food joint. I mean, come on. In other words, he was no angel.
He wasn't coming home from medical school.
No, look, I'm just saying he didn't deserve to die.
Of course not.
Clearly on tape, she made a mistake. It was a terrible, horrible mistake. It wasn't race-based. I mean, her black partner was trying to cuff the guy. And I don't know how you make a mistake like that. Look, they defunded the Minneapolis police. Maybe they didn't train them properly.
Well, I think training was probably the issue. In fact, I have a buddy who works in the police department. He said he thinks that was the issue. And again, we're not making excuses. She should be in trouble. She should be fired, even though she deserves due process. But the video really explains everything you need to see. So we're not defending this lady necessarily, but I will tell you this. Like that Officer Wilson in St. Louis, who had to leave because, you know, he killed Mike Brown, who turned out to be a thug and a lowlife. This lady's life is ruined forever. You're going to say, well, what about Dante Wright's life? We get it. We get it. But again, she didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to find myself a black man today and kill him. So it's unfortunate for everybody involved.
No, she's going to have to she's going to have to leave, obviously, go to the Czech Republic or someplace.
Seriously.
I don't know where. She's got her life is ruined.
Ruined.
Totally, totally ruined. I know the kid's dead forever. I understand that.
Right.
It was a tragic mistake. You comply and you won't die. Just don't resist arrest.
Which he did.
Start right there.
Which he did. He started roughing up the cops. He jumped back in the car. He started to drive away. I mean,
and they talk about his mother. Oh, he was on the phone with his mother. Hey, Mom, did you have the talk with your son, the same talk that de Blasio says he had with his kid? Did you have the talk where you say, listen, like white and black parents, by the way, all have the same talk with their kids.
Yeah.
They say, be respectful towards the police officer and do not resist and you'll be fine. You'll come home alive and I'll be so happy. Did she not have the talk with this kid?
I doubt it.
Okay, all right. I'm just wondering.
Not.
I mean, because I think they're supposed to.
They all become the parents of the year after their child tragically dies. And my heart goes out to this lady. It is her child. But if you really took a good look into a lot of these kids and their parents, parents do nothing. Kids been running like a wild man in the streets, having kids, breaking laws, and all of a sudden they become the mother of the year, like Eric Garner's mother. All of a sudden, she was the mother of the year.
Right.
Give me a break.
Yeah, all the media is showing you, by the way, this is a picture of this kid, 20-year-old, with the baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the baby who is, I don't know what whatever. I'm not going to pass judgment. But there's another picture of him with a pistol.
Like Michael Brown, yeah.
With a pistol, looking like a thug.
Well, it's like Rolling Stone magazine when they put the Tsarnaev brother on the cover and made him look like an angelic, nice kid after he blew up Boston and killed a bunch of people. I mean, that never should have been the picture, nor should this one they keep passing around, unless you put up both of them, him with the kid and him with the gun.
And by the way, yes, you're exactly right about that. And look, the media giving this Minneapolis situation, even Fox News, 24/7 giving it the attention, you know, and just going, let's go to the streets, you know, this is what they want. This is what these people in the streets want. They want this coverage, this attention. It's irresponsible. And they want to see anarchy. I believe they want to see anarchy. They want to divide the nation, just like the left, just like Black Lives Matter wants to do. Divide and conquer.
Same thing.
Have people at each other's throats.
Yep.
So in any case, there was another incident in Windsor, Virginia, which has totally been eclipsed by this Minneapolis shooting. In Windsor, Virginia, you had an army officer. He was a second lieutenant. He's brand spanking new. As an officer, is you know, whatever. Anyway, he's a Latino, and he was pulled over. At least they tried to pull him over. He wouldn't pull over. He drove for a mile and a half before they pulled him over. He passed one lit area. He said he was trying to go to a lighted area, just out of I don't know, safety concerns. At least he claimed that. But he passed one area where he could have stopped. Then he went to the second area. It was lit up. He stopped there. But he wouldn't comply, wouldn't listen to the car, wouldn't get out of the car, wouldn't turn the car off, wouldn't listen, would not comply. He's an army officer, and he should know. When the police officer gives you a command, just like you give your troops a command, you have to listen. That's the bottom line. You have to listen. But speaking of the media, listen to the way CBS characterizes this exchange. Take a listen.
Police in the small town of Windsor, Virginia, find themselves in the national spotlight tonight. They're being sued by an army officer who is Black and Latino after a traffic stop last December.
Now, look, she mentioned by an officer. The army officer was Black and Latino. She didn't mention the ethnicity of the officer. The officer who actually ended up pepper spraying him and got fired. Well, why not? Because he was not white either. He was a Latino, as she just said, and it's not convenient. It doesn't fit their, their fact pattern, their desired fact pattern. Let's put it that way. Because when other incidents occur, listen to CNN's Brianna Kaler. You have Mika Brzezinski. You have another NBC reporter playing all back to back on different police incidents that occur. They identify the ethnicity of the officer when it's convenient. Listen.
A white police officer charged with murder in the death of an apparently unarmed Black man.
The police officer, who is white and who was caught on a cell phone recording.
The officer who shot and killed him was white.
So that's what they do. That's what they do all the time. But in this case, you heard the CBS lady. She left out the ethnicity of the reporter because they want to stoke division in this country. And they want to see these cities in flames for whatever reason. I don't know. Is it ratings or they have the same agenda as Black Lives Matter? I'm sure it's probably both. But in any case, the guy did not comply. I don't care if he's an army officer. He didn't comply. Take a listen to the police body cam of them commanding him to do things, and he doesn't do it. Just listen to this.
Driver, roll the window down.
Felony traffic stop.
Put your hands out the window. Put your hands out the window.
And he won't put his hands
out. Turn the vehicle off. Put your hands out the window.
He would not do it.
I can't tell.
No hands. No vehicle still on.
Put your hands out the window and turn the vehicle off.
And he would not do it. Would not do it until the very end. After about 2 minutes, he finally puts his hands out the window. But it's too. At that point, he's not complying. Now he has a gun on him in the car as well. All right, so I don't have time to play all the body cam video. There's more of it, of him saying, oh, my God, you know, the police commanding him to do things that he's not doing it. But at the very end, the body cam records the police officer explaining to him why they did what they did because he didn't comply. This is the police officer on the body cam. Listen.
We followed you for a mile and a half with lights and sirens on, and you didn't pull over. I understand you want to get to a well-lit area. I get that. But when we follow you that long, look at the climate this day, and against everybody, against us, against y'all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not out to hurt you, and I know you don't want to hurt me. That's not what it's about. What it's about is making sure that everybody goes home at the end of the day. So when you don't stop and you continue to proceed, our suspicions are raised. What's going on in the car? What don't he want us to see?
Couldn't be more rational. And
yeah,
again,
nice.
I mentioned earlier you had almost 100 cops have been shot. I don't know how many dozen have been murdered already this year.
Three last night in Georgia.
Okay. So this is the background behind why. And the media was obsessing over this particular story before the Minneapolis story. They latched onto that and then it blew off the Windsor, Virginia story. But just to give you an idea of how corrupt the media is and how really afraid the police are and professional that they are, they go to great lengths not to have to do some of these things that they end up doing because the people are not complying.
No, they're not. And this kid didn't comply in Minnesota, bottom line. And that lady, probably not trained well, freaked out, pulled out the taser instead of the gun. Again, no excuse, but it resulted in a tragedy and an accident. And no one is portraying it that way in the media. Instead, they are saying she went out and murdered this guy, which is ridiculous. Anyway, that's where we are. We'll talk to a great cop. He knows all about this stuff. That's Bo Deedle. He's coming up next. And before the show is over, Norm Coleman and Charlie Kirk as well. But Bo Deedle on Bernie and Sid is next. Folks, go to WABCRadio.com now and register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee is, in fact, proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the morning here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Register now and good luck. Tuesday morning, our next guest, this guy, forget about being a hero cop. We all know that's the case. You can't even argue that. This guy's such a big-time actor. I believe that in the last week he was on the set of Godfather in Harlem, which is in Coney Island, Brooklyn. Then he flew to Miami, where he shot scenes for Gravesend, the same show I'm in. And I think him and I are shooting scenes together for Gravesend come June in Brooklyn. He is a big-time cop, a great actor, and most importantly, nearly three decades a dear friend of me and Bernie. It's the great Bo Deedle. Good morning, Bo.
Yo, Bo.
Good morning, guys. I didn't get that much sleep. I was watching the wall-to-wall coverage with Pigface Lemon last night. I like watching him because I like to see him gravitate and say nothing. He knows nothing. He knows nothing about they're talking about the CS gas. He goes, yeah, it's very tough to take it. What does he know about CS gas? He sits in the studio. That's what he does. But, you know, what happened with this young fella here was nobody wants to see anybody die. And to be real about it, I still can't understand how you can shoot your gun and think it's a taser. To me, and she had some experience. I think she had 20 years on the force. Not saying that is right or wrong. It's a terrible accident. And you can hear it if you watch everything. You can see in her mind what she thought. Was she qualified? Was she trained well enough? You know, I just can't see the mistake happening, but it's a mistake. It's not something where she took a gun and said, I'm going to kill you. She actually says, I thought it was a taser. She yelled, taser, taser. And, you know, I'm not going to judge anything there, but that does not give these animals the right to go out and loot stores. Yesterday, I looked up 7th Avenue from my building. There was about 75 animals stopping traffic. No cops are doing anything about it. They have free will. And I guarantee you this summer, it's going to be looting because we're waiting for an excuse to start breaking into stores and burning stores down again. And that's exactly what's going to happen in this city and around this country. Again, people don't want to know the real facts about what's going on in the country. I've said it before on your show. Every year, over 15,000 people are murdered. Of those 15,000, approximately 8,000 are African-American. And African-Americans who hold 12% of the population are committing 60% of the murders. But for some reason, we can't highlight these little children, these little black children in our communities getting gunned down by other black gangster kids in the community. Why aren't we outraged about that? Why do we have to wait for a terrible tragedy to happen with a cop? And that's the highlight of every news organization, wall to wall. Why don't we have a highlight of the people that were shot in Chicago over the weekend? I believe there was three dead, and I think one was a 7-year-old little girl
who's
never going to. And never going to make a communion. And why don't we see pictures of that little girl that was shot down that will never see Santa Claus, never do a communion. But no one gives a damn. They're just waiting. They hate cops. And we saw what happened up in Washington Heights when they surround them, putting pigs on the car, cursing at them. They have no respect for cops. And that's what happened with the soldier down in Virginia. Again, we have to have some law and order. No one will comply with cops. That's why cops are not getting involved, because incidents like this are going to happen. And then once a cop gets involved, tries to wrestle the person, the perpetrator, if they're arresting them, all they do is show these videos all over the air and everywhere's, oh, those violent cops. Well, handcuffing someone, if they're resistant, looks violent. I'm sorry to say, this is not Adam 12, put your hand behind your back. They don't do that. So
no.
Stop the bull crap,
no.
All these judgment people.
You're absolutely right. Bo Dietl on the Bernie and Sid Show. Bo, there was a 1-year-old shot in the head in Chicago. Miraculously, he survived. No media coverage. There was a 12-year-old kid in Brooklyn shot in the chest over the weekend. He survived as well. There was a 2-year-old shot yesterday in Newark, a 2-year-old. You don't get any media coverage of any of that stuff. Again, as you point out, when it suits their narrative, when they can divide people, they don't really care about Black Lives. It's all about dividing people, division, maybe ratings, I don't know, which makes it even worse, I guess.
Well,
but
Bernie, you know, why don't they show who's killing our children on the news media? And like I said, with the 8,000 blacks that are killed around our country every year, 90% of them are killed by other blacks. Stop the bullcrap. The cops are not killing them. The minor amount, and every life is a major, but the minor amount is so ridiculous of these kids going to. There should have been news coverage of all these young children getting killed and shot in the head over this weekend and put their pictures on the air. They won't do that.
Right.
That doesn't fit the scenario of the Black Lives Matter lie with those two things over there in California, these two thieves that are taking all this money, buying houses. Whoopee! We're going to have a good time. More money,
you know,
more money. Let's see what we can shut down.
I quoted Greg Kelly earlier. I'll do it again. He says that he nails it. He says, we have stupid conversations about race to avoid having real conversations about race that would make a difference. And he's right about that. These are stupid conversations. That was clearly an accident in Minneapolis, a terrible, tragic accident, but an accident nonetheless. There are other issues involved, like that 20-year-old kid. Why did he have a rap sheet as long as my arm?
Right.
Why did he have a 2-year-old boy while he's working in a fast food, a 2-year-old son or daughter while he's working in a fast food store?
That's all good. And the bottom line is, and you saw this, Bo, and we're not making any excuses for the cop. That's a terrible job. Nearly 3 decades on the job. You cannot confuse your taser with a gun. But he did not comply. The kid pushed the cop, jumped back in the car, started to drive away. The kid did not comply.
Absolutely. And you know what it scares me, guys? Because we're in New York City. I love this city so much. I love the cops so much. But the problems here now are these gangbangers. There's word out on the streets. Harass cops. They're not going to do anything. Do what you want. You'll get locked up. You'll get let out. And that's why we're having shootings all over the city. It's only going to increase. The worst part is they can't lock them up. They're not going to lock them up, because when they lock them up, they'll get in trouble. If they lock them up, they're going to be out the next day. This is ridiculous. And not one of these counties, with the exception of our friend the Red Hat, that talks about this. Where's Eric Adams? Where is all these people talking about the biggest problem in New York and across this country? Crime.
Exactly right. They're nowhere to be found is where they are. Bo Dietl, just one last question. The Chauvin trial, how do you think it's going? Do you think he's going to be convicted? Should he be convicted in your mind if you've been watching the trial?
Well, I mean, it keeps going back and forth, back and forth. I mean, the most at the full throttle, the most should be a negligent homicide or manslaughter.
Agreed.
Nothing, no murder, no intentional murder here. And if that comes out, that's ridiculous. Look, you have a whole country sitting on their seats, and no matter what they come back with, guaranteed it'll be shopping time for the looters to go burn stores down, loot and rob, because it's acceptable, and they'll get away with it because this is acceptable, and they'll run it on the news, and this is going to be another scenario. I can't believe this country is turning into what it is. This moron president that we have sitting there that has no clue where he is not getting involved, is not going to stop it. Take the handcuffs off the cops. Let them lock these son of a guns up and let the judges determine bail and put them in jail when they get guns.
Yeah. Next time.
Black lives. Lives matter. Yeah. Black on black lives matter.
There you go. Hey, next time, Bo, if you can come with a bit of enthusiasm, it would be better.
A little passion.
Yeah, a little
okay?
passion.
Come on.
Next time, don't be so.
We love you, Bo.
So lackluster. Bo, you're the best. The absolute best. Another great appearance by our dear friend, the great hero cop and tremendous actor. He really is great. Bo Dietl. Thank you, Bo. That was great. Still to come, Norm Coleman coming up next hour from the great state of Minnesota. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Charlie Kirk, newest WABC talent. Lydia reports, Pete Bernie, and a big story about Johnson & Johnson. If you got that vaccine, you're going to want to hear this. Trust me. Keep it right here, Bernie and Sid, on a Tuesday. Gin Blossoms for you at 7:44 on your Tuesday morning here in New York City, back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Don't forget, folks, you can listen to this show anywhere around the world. I was down in Florida taping Gravesend. I put Bernie on, and I can do that because I've got the free 77 WABC app. Heard anywhere, everywhere. It's free, the 77 WABC app. Make sure you download that app today. Also, from the very beginning of our show today, Ken Davidoff, this moron from the New York Post, who writes that the Yankees should be congratulated for giving Aaron Hicks, another dope, the day off because Aaron was so distraught over this shooting in Minnesota, and his manager, Aaron Boone, and I believe we've got that, was all too happy to do it. So the trio of Davidoff, Boone, and Hicks in the crosshairs of Bernie and Sid this morning. I like Aaron Boone. I've been a friend of his back to his playing days in Miami, but he's just such a pandering suck-up sometimes. And here's what he sounded like yesterday.
He's just, with all that's going on in Minneapolis, he's having a tough time right now. And, had a conversation in my office, and he just felt like it was best to not be in the starting lineup tonight. And I certainly support that.
That's pathetic.
Oh, shut that
up. Go to work. You're making millions of dollars. Go play baseball.
You little thumb-sucking baby. I mean, come on. Is he distraught about the 2-year-old who was shot in Newark yesterday? Yeah. The 2-year-old black kid that was shot in Newark, or the 12-year-old boy who was shot in Brooklyn in the chest?
He don't care.
Is he distraught about that?
Or the 3 cops who were shot in Georgia last night? I mean, if these players every now and then decided to take a mental day off when a cop got killed, then I would say, okay, at least we're balancing here.
Yeah, how about the cop that was executed, that videotape came out, executed in broad daylight by a drug dealer?
Yeah.
The Latino cop.
Right.
I mean, how about him? Are you not distraught? I was distraught when I saw that yesterday.
So
but
was I.
Came to work.
We came to work.
I mean, come on. It's just sickening, this pandering and this.
Right. And this idiot Davidoff of the New York Post. Congratulations to the Yankees. Ken Davidoff, you are a moron. Where's Miranda Devine, our New York Post friend? She should walk into that office today and smack Davidoff right across
how
the face.
How about this? Vax? Or Vax?
Oh, Mike Vaccaro.
Vax should whack.
Yes. Davidoff.
Yeah. Yeah. Davidoff, if that's his real name.
Well, let's replace David with Jerk. Then what is his last name becoming? Don't say it.
I mean,
it
really just is sickening. It's just inflaming tensions. It's ridiculous. It wasn't race-based. It was a mistake. It was terrible. It's awful. Nobody wishes it happened. We're all sorry it happened.
Of course.
I mean, come on.
Stop.
I mean, just be a man. Grow a pair and get out there and do your damn job. And by the way, maybe the Yankees were happy, as I stated earlier, that he didn't play because they won last night.
They did.
And he's been stinking up the joint.
True.
For,
act like a man.
That's right.
They should give him the day off again today. Yeah. Give him a month off.
Trade him to the Twins.
Right. Then he can stay in Minnesota.
Yes, and he can make a difference. Quit your job and join the Minneapolis Police Department. How about that?
We are going to go to the state of Minnesota coming up in about an hour. My first cousin, former mayor of St. Paul, Minnesota, and senator from the great state of Minnesota, Norm Coleman, will join us coming up. So yesterday, at the end of the show, we do this question thing every day that John O'Halloran tapes. It's me and Bernie with the question of the day. And I believe you can see that. Is it Instagram or WABCradio.com?
It would be Instagram.
Instagram. At It's Bernie and Sid. Right.
Yes.
Okay. So the question is about vaccines. So long story short, I say to Bernie, I say, I'm not getting vaccinated. I'm not doing it. This has been over a year now. I've been tested 14 times. I am convinced, and I may sound like an idiot. That's fine. I do every morning.
Well, what's the deal? Yeah, man, it's just another day. Sure.
Thanks, Bernie. But I'm not getting vaccinated.
No, look, you don't sound like an idiot. If that's your it's your prerogative not to get vaccinated.
I'm not against it, and I think people should, especially older people and people with vulnerabilities. But I'm not in a hurry to get it done. And somebody actually called me yesterday, a friend, and was yelling at me. I swear to you. They're like, you understand that even though it sounds crazy, there are people that listen to you every day and they actually do what you say to do. I know it sounds crazy, but they do. So you cannot be out there telling people not to get vaccinated.
Well, you didn't tell people. You just said that you were not getting vaccinated. And,
right.
And myself, I got the first shot. And the only reason I did, do you think I would go online and pursue, try to go to a site or go to Jones Beach or something like that? My wife at 1 o'clock in the morning secured a spot for me at a local drugstore. It took me a half hour tops. It was so convenient. I couldn't say no. Otherwise, I'd be like you.
Oh, I know.
I'd be like, I'm not that interested. I've never gotten a flu shot in my life. I'm not getting the coronavirus, but I got it because my wife made me do it.
Well, she loves you. She made you do it. And I never got flu shots either until Maimonides Hospital made me get them to deliver toys to kids with cancer during Christmas. And I was only too happy to do it then. But now with these vaccinations, there are stories now almost every day of people who get vaccinated and 2 or 3 weeks later, they get the virus.
Well, yeah, particularly the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Is that the one?
Yeah, that's the one.
They're taking them off the shelves because
of blood clots. And they say they had the same problem with AstraZeneca in Europe with blood clots and that particular vaccine. But yes, there were three or four incidents of people getting the J&J vaccine and contracting the coronavirus, the China virus, if you will, weeks later, maybe even more than weeks later. There's one guy in New Jersey who got it, and a month later, he's now in critical condition in the hospital right now with the virus. So pulling this J&J vaccine makes probably good sense at this point, especially with the blood clots. I mean, you got to do more studies on it or something.
Right.
But
that was the last of the three, right?
I'm sorry?
That was the last of the three.
Pfizer
was first, then Moderna, then Johnson & Johnson.
I believe so, yes.
Right.
And, of course, in Europe, AstraZeneca. Right,
right. Right.
Look, there was also related to this, too. There was this woman, this teacher, out in the Los Angeles school district. And she was actually yelling at the kids. She was yelling at the kids. Now, these people, they won't go back to school. They're all getting vaccinated. They're selfish. Remember, I've always said I've always had a high regard for teachers. A lot of people have.
Of course.
But until this pandemic, and now that they've revealed themselves, at least most of them, to be selfish, greedy, and maybe even evil. Evil, because they don't speak up. You don't hear them. You know Michael Mulgrew and Randy Weingarten, the leaders of these teachers' unions, local and nationally. You know they are evil, selfish people. But you thought maybe the teachers were a little better. But anyway, this one teacher actually yelled at her class over Zoom. She's doing a remote class. She yelled at the kids about her parents wanting the kids to return to school. Listen to the teacher.
If your parent wants to talk to me about their profession and their opinion on their profession, I would love to hear that. I know very little about anything else in the world other than education, okay? However, if your parent wants to come talk to me about how I'm not doing a good enough job in distance learning based on what you need as an individual, just dare them to come at me. Because I'm so sick to my stomach of parents trying to tell educators how to do their job. I have never once gone to a doctor's appointment and tried to tell my medical health provider how to treat me. You know why? Because I know nothing about that. I didn't get my degree in medicine.
You believe that? She's talking to kids. She's talking to kids. And by the way, these kids are sitting at home. Yeah. They've been at home for a year.
Yeah.
They're depressed. They're suicidal. There's, a lot of them aren't even paying it. A lot of them aren't even there.
No, I know.
I mean,
yeah.
I
mean,
I should be back in school.
So if that's representative of way teachers,
I don't think it is.
If it's not representative, I want to hear more teachers do interviews and express that they're not down with that sentiment. I want to hear that.
All three of my nieces, not all three, I've got more than that, but Jennifer and Tamara and Maxie, all listening right now, I hope, they're all teachers and they're great kids and they can't, you know, they want to be in school, they want to be with the kids. So I'm not sure that lady is really representative of the majority of teachers. In fact, I'm going to bet she's not, but there's still too many of her for me to be okay with that.
1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Let your voice be heard. If you're a good teacher, if you disagree, if you wanted to get back in school, I mean, I just haven't heard enough of it. I just have not. I've lost a lot of respect. My future daughter-in-law is a New York City high school teacher. I know she wants to go back to your anecdotal story as well, but I haven't heard enough of it in the media. That's for sure. Anyway, on the Bernie and Sid show, we're going to talk to Norm Coleman, former senator, Sid's cousin from Minnesota, where the center of the action is right now, sadly. Also, Charlie Kirk, who actually started yesterday on 77 WABC. We'll speak to him in the 9 o'clock hour as well.
Our Two for Tuesday continues. Jim Blossoms, getting close to the 8 o'clock hour. Norm Coleman, Lydia Reports, both coming up next hour. 9 o'clock hour, Charlie Kirk and Pete Morgan, Peerless Boilers, beat Bernie. I got time for one quick call here. Let's go to Nancy on Staten Island, line 4. Good morning, Nancy.
Oh, good morning, Sid. Good morning, Bernie. I can't really talk too long. I'm actually late for school. I'm a New York City school teacher. It's beyond a tragedy what is going on with these poor children. They have to be back in school. The teachers are vaccinated even before. I'm 63 years old, and I was one of the teachers who said, put us in the building, put us in the building. So I just want to put it out there. We are not, the union doesn't represent all of us. We don't all feel the way the union feels. And I and a lot of my friends and my colleagues want to be in that building, and these children need to be back. It is an absolute tragedy, and we're just playing with these children's lives.
Well, that's well said, Nancy, and you're representing the good teachers, of which I guess the majority of you are. And it's refreshing to hear because you don't hear it anywhere else. I don't hear it. I don't hear it in the news. I don't hear, Bill Ritter interviewing a teacher saying, I want to go back to school.
They're not going
to
do that. It doesn't fit the narrative. But, again, very anecdotal. Your friend, my nieces, they all want to be back in school. They miss the kids. We got a great couple of hours coming your way. We'll take more of your phone calls at 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Plus, why John O'Halloran is tone deaf. All that and more. Bernie and Sid, we'll be right back. Here's John O'Halloran. I want to tell him quickly why he's tone deaf. If you've been listening since the very top of the show, or even watch my early morning Instagram video, which I do from 3rd Avenue, circa 5 a.m. every morning at Sid Rosenberg, you know that Bernie and I have been after three people. New York Post writer Ken Davidoff, he's a moron. Yankee skipper Aaron Boone and Yankee outfielder Aaron Hicks. Ken Davidoff congratulating the Yankees for allowing Aaron Hicks to take the day off last night against Toronto because he was so emotionally distraught over the death of Dante Wright in Minnesota, which, of course, is ludicrous. Go play the game. You make millions of dollars. Go do your job. And Davidoff gave him all this credit. So why is John O'Halloran tone deaf today? John,
why?
Yeah, let's give you the opportunity to to maybe figure it out yourself. I mean, I felt bad. We called you white trash yesterday. Now today you're tone deaf. You're going to start to think it's a daily thing. It's not. But why do you think we're calling you tone deaf today?
I am absolutely clueless.
All right. Wait a second. Did you not just hear what he said?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Who are the three people that Bernie and I have been after all morning long?
You have been after Aaron Hicks.
Right.
You have been after the Yankees in general.
Correct.
And I guess
the Post writer. Okay.
Yeah, and Aaron Boone.
So two out of the three, which is 67%, are Yankees.
Correct.
Why don't you explain to the listening audience who can't see you right now what you're wearing?
I think it's all just clicked in my head. I am wearing a New York Yankees baseball Nike t-shirt.
Here's the thing. The kid doesn't even smoke weed.
He doesn't?
No.
That's true. I don't.
Edibles? You do edibles?
But that's bad because now you don't have an excuse. that's why it's bad.
Well, anyway. But
listen, we were talking about, you were saying maybe Miranda Devine or a Vax should whack him or something like that.
Davidoff.
Yeah. They go after their colleague there at the New York Post. You know who would do that if anybody would? You know who would.
At the New York Post?
Yes.
It's a writer.
Yes. Sports writer.
Sports writer, New York, Phil Mushnick.
Absolutely.
You love Phil.
Phil Mushnick. I love Phil Mushnick. You talk about telling the truth.
Yeah.
Phil Mushnick tells the truth. He came out with a column 2 weeks ago, a week ago Sunday, about the All-Star game and the cowardice of Rob Manfred. None of these guys, like Ken Davidoff, by the way. He didn't say anything about that.
Of course
he didn't
not.
Weigh in. He didn't even weigh in.
No, he would actually congratulate Rob Manfred.
But Phil Davidoff. Mushnick, not... Not even close.
You know, it's funny.
The exact opposite.
I was in Florida, and I was reading Matt Meany's morning emails. And, of course, I was off the air for four shows, and you were hosting those four shows. And it's the same email he sends us every morning with the topics and the guests. And I saw, to be announced, Phil Mushnick.
Right. I tried to get him on.
Did you get him?
No, he didn't
have
him on.
Okay. But that was the story.
He went after Steve Cohen as well for agreeing with Manfred on the decision. And that's why I love Phil Mushnick. And he's been that way forever, forever.
I mean, he beat the hell out of me for years, me and Imus. I mean, really over the top.
You have since made up with Phil Mushnick.
Yes.
So it's all good now. But, yeah, he went after Imus as well.
He went after me, and we're good friends at this point just a couple of months ago, don't forget, for doing FanDuel commercials. He's like, why would Sid Rosenberg be doing FanDuel commercials?
Yeah, but that was it wasn't a mean,
but it wasn't nasty.
It wasn't a mean spirited.
No.
In fact, it was a net plus for you.
It was.
Let's face it.
He's actually taken the Imus Francesa nastiness and put it on Craig Carton for the most part, and he is nicer to me. So I do appreciate Phil for that, and he is a terrific writer. You're right, no doubt.
Yeah,
great
he
writer.
Is. Look, speaking of rats, there's a big rat problem in New York City.
Tell me about it.
As you heard.
Yeah, as I see every morning.
Yeah, right. As the complaints for rats are way, way up, and there are all kinds of rats. There are four-legged rats. There are two-legged rats. And the two-legged rat, Governor Cuomo, was asked yesterday. He said, they asked him, are you going to make an endorsement in the mayoral race? And he said, I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Hey. Where's my assistant? My phone is broke over here. Tell her to come meet me in the office. Anyway, he said he might. And it turns out that of the mayoral candidates who were asked, Andrew Yang and this guy Ray McGuire said that they would accept his endorsement. They said they would accept the endorsement of this homicidal psychopath pervert.
No. Ventilators.
Corrupt
ventilators.
POS. Andrew Yang, who, by the way, caved recently on, as you know, to the teachers union after coming out against the evil teachers union.
He also spent all Sunday bitching about street vendors. Leave those guys alone. Those guys barely make a living as it is.
Exactly.
I mean, leave them alone. But here's the problem.
By the way, they serve a great service. We have a guy right outside.
I know. Love him.
We have a couple of guys, actually. There's one you used to go to for food.
And 47th and 3rd.
This dude downstairs, he sells water and candy and stuff like that.
Guys are great. I mean, Andrew, but here's the problem and why it almost makes sense, even though it's not. It sounds nasty.
And by the way, they're mostly immigrants. Go ahead.
True. But still, well over 50% of New Yorkers, I know you don't want to hear this, either do I, well over 50% of New Yorkers, A, think Andrew Cuomo was still doing a good job, and B, think he did a good job with the virus. So even as crazy as it sounds, it does make political sense for guys like Andrew Yang to accept that because the majority of these crazy people we live with still have good grades for Andrew Cuomo.
That's life.
Well, we shall see. Now, speaking of political candidates, and you talked about this, Sydney, is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He gave an interview to the speaking of nepotism, Willie Geist. Willie Geist is only in the business because his dad was a big reporter on CBS. Remember that, folks. He failed at the Today Show. They demoted him back to MSNBC because he sucks. Let's face it. Willie Geist is terrible. And I actually used to work with this guy at here at WABC. Yeah. Back when Mika and Joe were doing the 10 o'clock hour.
They suck, too.
The 10 o'clock, the 10 to 12 segment, whatever.
They all suck.
Day part. Yeah, they stink. Anyway.
Horrible.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He gave this interview to Willie Geist, and this is what he said about, yeah, I know, running for president. Listen.
In our dividing country, there aren't that many people we all agree on anymore. So is that something that still interests you, Dwayne?
So I do have that goal to unite our country, and I also feel that if this is what the people want, then I will do that. But I am passionate about making sure that our country is united, because a united country, as we know, is its strongest. And I want to see that for our country.
It's like so stupid and naive. It's like a 13-year-old girl. Look, I like Dwayne The Rock. By the way, there's some there are rumors out there about Dwayne The Rock, but I won't get into that.
You mean sexuality?
I ain't getting into
I've heard those for years.
But look.
He's a cute guy. I love him.
I want a united country. Who doesn't want a united country?
Well, but here's the thing. Listen.
Joe Biden said that I want a united country. Look what he's done.
Well, we knew that Biden was lying from day one because, again, 75 million Americans voted for Donald Trump, and at no point was Joe Biden ever going to take what those people wanted into consideration. So we knew he was lying from day one. But what if The Rock actually says, hold on a second, I'm going to listen to folks who voted Democrat and folks who voted for Donald Trump. I'm going to try to find some even ground and find a place to make them both happy. What if he said that?
Well, then there'd be this thing called issues that he would have to take stands on. You know what I mean? And
yes,
that divides people.
Right.
In other words, the border, for example, or whatever else it is that Joe Biden is doing that's like trans people.
Right.
You know, now, withdrawing from the suit, the lawsuit against Harvard in favor of Asians who are being discriminated against. In other words, and that would favor black people unfairly over Asians. So you have to take these difficult positions, and then people start saying, no, I hate you. It doesn't work like that. You have to be courageous. I want everybody to agree with me, and if they're united and they like what I say, then maybe I'll run. I mean, you know, with your big muscles and your fake wrestling, all that stuff. It's all choreographed. It's all fake. The guy's, he sounded like a...
He's a good actor, though.
He sounded like a 13-year-old girl in that particular interview.
You would say it to his face.
I'd say it to his face.
I think you probably would.
But what is he going to do?
He's going to knock your face off.
And you know what? I'd be a millionaire 10 times over. So go ahead, knock my face off. You sound like a 13-year-old girl, The Rock, all right?
But how come...
What are you going to do?
How come you only talked about wrestling and his muscles? He's actually a really good actor. Like, I'm not joking around. I'm being serious.
I don't care.
Like, I love him
in
those movies.
That's wonderful. That's fine. I've always liked Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, I love him.
But when you start talking about jumping into the president, and I want people to be united, and you're talking to this idiot, this nepotism recipient, Willie Geist, I mean, don't insult me. Stop insulting me.
What if The Rock was on? I know this is a crazy hypothetical.
It's fodder for idiots.
What if he was on with Tucker Carlson?
Well, that'd be different. No, I kid. He would never go on with Tucker Carlson.
Well, how do you know?
Tucker would ask him difficult questions.
He's got some
Tucker would put him on the spot. Willie Geist is on his knees.
Maybe he's got some conservative, policies.
Maybe. I'd like to hear it, but I want to unite the country. Give me a break. Tell me about the catastrophe at the border and how disgusted it makes you and about how kids are getting raped in cages. Tell me something. Tell me something about what's going on now that you would remedy that's so obvious.
No.
Don't say, we just want to unite the country.
What if he makes Jack Black his vice president?
What am I doing here?
Well, who's the other kid in that movie?
That's another,
who's the actor,
loser.
The comedian?
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart? He's good in those movies.
He is.
He's a horrible stand-up comic. He's the worst I've ever... He's one of the few guys I actually shut off on Netflix after paying for it. Now, that's how bad he was.
By the way, I think he broke your boy Andrew Dice Clay's record for selling out Madison Square Garden.
Kevin Hart did.
Yeah, that's why you hate him, really.
Oh, yeah, I kind of hate him for that. That's true.
I'm over here now. Nice man. Hey, I did it. Not him. I did it first.
Andrew Dice Clay.
He had social media. I had nothing. I had TV commercials and a billboard.
He's coming in August, just so you know. Dice will be here after he films in June. So that is not Dice that you're playing there. That's Anthony Cumia, the brilliant Opian Anthony.
I'm the nice man.
He was so good. Got to get Anthony back one of these days. Anyway, Liddy Reports is coming up next, and then we go live to the state of Minnesota where my first cousin Norm Coleman has the latest on a crazy time in Minneapolis. Lydia and Norm coming up next.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this report is sponsored by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. It's a horrible statistic, but you can change that because your world, it can change just like that. So as a parent, protect your loved ones, your little ones, by purchasing a LifeVac. It's a simple device. Go to LifeVac.net. Use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's lifehack.net. I saw this video on Twitter, actually Rich Valdez. He's the one that put it up. And I was asking him before, you know, where is this? What is it? So basically, it's a video of a mom. She's breastfeeding her child on a plane. The mom has a mask on. The flight attendant has a mask on. But it looks like it's a one-year-old or one-and-a-half-year-old suckling at her breast. It's literally the baby is still, it is attached to her breast. And the flight attendant comes over and demands she put a mask on the child while it's breastfeeding. Take a listen.
Hi, good morning, ma'am. So, I understand your daughter doesn't have a face mask on.
She's nursing. She's going to nurse the whole flight. And I can just, like, get away from everybody.
No.
Nobody here has a problem with it.
No, it's not about that. It's just...
I can't do it. It's going to suffocate her, and I care more about her health.
Okay, so it is a federal right of law now.
It's not a law.
It is.
No, it's not.
Okay, but I can't follow it because she's going to die and suffocate.
Okay, so unfortunately, if she cannot wear a mask...
I already paid for the flight.
We're about to leave.
Why don't we just go? What's the big deal? I really don't understand this. I'm recording this right now.
Yes.
Because it's wrong.
No.
It's not
about
wrong.
It's not about her nursing.
It's wrong. What's going on?
It's just about her
nursing. I know that it's not about her nursing.
Okay.
Because you want me to put a mask on her.
Jeez.
What a boob. That's flight attendant is.
We got a caller on line 3 right now. He's not going to get on. His name is Leonard on Long Island. Says, do you think you're responsible for COVID deaths because you attack mask wearers? I mean, these are the types of morons that have called our show this morning and that they just get crazy with this stuff.
He's just asking, and I would answer no.
Of course not.
No. It's
for
everybody has free will out
that's
there.
That's right. The answer is no, and the answer for this flight attendant is that she should be fired.
Thank God the mom was actually recording and she shows her daughter on her breast and the flight attendant coming over and asking her to put a mask on. But the problem is there's so much confusion that even Dr. Fauci, Mr. Top Disease Infectious Expert, whatever you want to call him, he was specifically asked, if you are fully vaccinated, can you go out to eat? And take a listen and hear what he said.
No, it's still not okay for the simple reason that the level of infection, the dynamics of infection in the community are still really disturbingly high.
The other story with Fauci, I don't know if you know this, but I know you know this, Lydia, about 5 weeks ago, Texas said no more masks. Everybody's opening up, no more masks. It turns out that the numbers have not gone up in Texas, even though they shed their masks 5 weeks ago. When Dr. Fauci was asked on CBS this Sunday, how do you explain that? How do you explain the fact that Texas shed their masks and the numbers aren't going up? His answer was, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't know anything.
You know what's funny? You know the website Babylon Bee? It's actually like the Onion. It's a conservative Onion.
Yeah.
And by the way, the New York Times is fact-checking the Babylon Bee, believe it or not. Either humorless or just vicious, you know, they want to censor free speech. Anyway, the headline with Dr. Fauci here is his head is in a jar. And the headline is, quote, "It is still not safe to go outside," says Dr. Fauci's head in a jar in year 2007-39. You moron. He's been wrong about everything.
Everything. Everything.
By the way, they had the things that he's been wrong about have had consequences. Huge. He first started out saying that the virus is no problem. It's never going to. Right on John Catsimatidis' show at the end of January.
January 20th.
That's right. He told John, don't worry. It's nothing. It's the flu. Get a flu shot. Don't worry about this China virus thing. It's no big deal whatsoever. That was the beginning of a dozen mistakes that he made that have cost people lives. And look at the schools, the social distancing. It's okay to social distance at 3 feet and probably less. And also the virus doesn't live on surfaces. We were all scrubbing stuff down with the hand sanitizers. The subways closed. We're worried about our packages from Amazon. Oh my God, it's going to have the virus. None of that was true. And he didn't say anything about it.
And at the very least, I know a lot of you folks out there are okay with it because you're being nice and sensitive and you don't want to get sick and get your neighbors sick. But at the very least, they've completely stripped us of our civil liberties. This whole thing from day one, whether it is telling you to wear a mask, telling you to get a vaccine passport, all of those things are unconstitutional. They just can't do that.
Absolutely.
And they've
right.
done it, and like sheep in states like this, you all followed, even though, once again, they've been right about nothing.
2 weeks to slow the spread.
Two weeks.
A year later.
Yeah, here we are.
I mean, a curfew, 11 o'clock. You can't have another drink. Shut up. Get out.
And 33% here and 41.6% there and 51.4%. What does this mean?
And meanwhile, the city died. The state died. It's all dead.
Dead.
It's all because of these people.
So what happens now with this flight attendant, Lydia?
I don't know. I'm trying to get more information, and I was asking Rich Valdez about it because he's the one who put the video out there, and he says he's working on it. You know, he used to work for Project Veritas, so yeah, it's incredible. What was incredible is to see the baby. The mom was showing it on the video, the baby suckling on her breast while the flight attendant is telling her to put a mask on the baby. Bill O'Reilly was on yesterday, John Catsimatidis' show, and we were saying how, you know, marijuana, my suggestion was they shouldn't have legalized it unless you're 30 and older because the brain isn't fully developed until your mid-20s. And he said that's not true because if you look at mainstream media, and then, of course, I had to add some of the Biden administration, he's like their brains have never fully developed because they just are not making any sense whatsoever in a lot of things that are going on in this world.
By the way, I mentioned yesterday, maybe the day before, the New Hampshire track coach was fired for allowing his kids to run outdoors without masks. I mean, he was fired for that. And of course, it's unhealthy to run with a mask. It really is. Plus, this is how bad it's gotten. United States Navy, the United States Navy website, they have a logo which features an eagle in the logo. They put a mask on the eagle's beak.
No, they didn't do that.
The United States Navy.
Oh,
you talk about this is the woke-tivism that is permeating all elements of our society, corporations, sports, schools, and now the military.
Well, this is why when I walk into a restaurant and my wife yells at me or my kids yell at me because I refuse to wear a mask, it's not that I'm insensitive. It's not that I want somebody else to die. I know they're not going to, and I refuse to do this because you're playing into the hands of this government and these cities now that have taken away, as I said, all your civil liberties. When you continue to comply with this nonsense, how do you expect to get away from it? So I don't want people to die. They're not going to die. And by the way, if you're going to a restaurant on a Saturday night on Amsterdam Avenue and you can die, you're vulnerable, stay home.
Bingo, you nailed it. And by the way, just one more thing. The kids running track in New Hampshire have to wear masks. I see these NBA players playing. I see college football players playing.
No masks.
Of course not. But the little guy, what's the difference? Where is the?
I don't know.
Why the difference? I mean, somebody explain that to me.
I don't know. Also explain this to me. You're right. No, the NBA players don't wear a mask. So they walk off the court. They're sweating bullets. Some of them are bleeding. They walk over to the bench, and the idiot coach is wearing a mask. I mean, just explain it to me.
Lydia, come on, explain it to us.
Well,
tell Rich Valdez to find out.
Well, I mean, what else do you need to know when they rode the cyclone, you know, on Coney Island for the first time and everybody was wearing a mask on a roller coaster?
Ah, is that right?
I mean, and they were wearing like three masks and holding on to the mask. It's like, what?
Yo, that's
funny,
man.
The stupidity is profound.
That's funny right there, man. That's funny, man. That's funny.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Lydia. That was great.
And this report, again, is brought to you by LifeVac. One child dies every 5 days from choking. Your world, it can change in minutes. And as a parent myself, I have a four-year-old little Julia. I have a LifeVac. Go to LifeVac.net to get your own. Use code WABC for 10% off. Again, that's LifeVac.net.
Thank you, Lydia. You can follow Lydia on Instagram, at Lydia News 1, on Twitter, at Lydia News. Check her out every weekday afternoon at 4, and, of course, sitting alongside John Catsimatidis at 5. Story of the day, of course, is in Minnesota, where, once again, Dante Wright tragically killed by a Minnesota cop just 10 miles away from the George Floyd trial, which, of course, entered week 3 for Derek Chauvin just yesterday. We're going to go to Minnesota. My first cousin, Norm Coleman, former senator and mayor of St. Paul, is standing by with the latest from the city in this country that's on fire. Norm Coleman from Minnesota is next.
I'm over here now. You see, that's a professional. You didn't even see what I just did you, honey? I'm over here now. I was over there. Now I'm over here. That's a professional. You know, another guy comes up here, he drops the mic, trips over his... Not me. I'm over there, and now I came over here, but then I backed up, now I'm over here. You see what I'm saying?
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine, threw the bums a dime in your prime. Then you...
Usually we play Prince when my cousin Norm comes on from Minnesota. This is the great Bob Dylan, another Minnesota boy.
They were all kidding you.
Well, we got some folks in our crosshairs today. New York Post columnist Ken Davidoff. And again, we want to replace David with Jerk. You can figure out the rest. New York Yankee outfielder Aaron Hicks and Yankee skipper Aaron Boone. Hicks took the night off last night because he wasn't ready to play. He's getting millions of dollars. But
let me guess. He was upset at the 2-year-old who was shot in Newark.
No.
He was upset at the 12-year-old who was shot in the chest in Brooklyn.
No.
He was upset about the 1-year-old that was shot in Chicago.
No, or the three cops that was shot in Georgia last night. No.
He wasn't upset about the cop who was executed in New Mexico. The video came out yesterday.
No, none of that.
And really disturbed me.
No.
But I came to work.
Came to work?
What was it then?
Well, Dante Wright, of course.
Are you kidding? Is that right?
That's right. So
I don't know what to do.
Let's play this quick. Norm is a big sports fan, too. Here's Aaron Boone with the reason why he gave Hicks, who, by the way, has been stinking up the joint the night off in a Yankee win over Toronto.
He's just, with all that's going on in Minneapolis, you know, he's having a tough time right now.
Oh,
and,
poor baby.
You know, had a conversation in my office, and he just felt like it was best to not be in the starting lineup tonight, and I certainly support that.
Get your ass to work, jerk.
Right.
Millions of dollars. Virtue signaling is what he's going to. Shut up. He's causing division. It was a terrible thing that happened. It was clearly an accident. You're upset?
Yeah.
I mean, he's very upset. You know how many terrible tragedies happen in this country every single day?
People go to work, like our next guest, my first cousin, live from Minnesota, the great mayor of St. Paul and senator from Minnesota, Norm Coleman. Norman, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Sid and Bernie. So just a note about the intro music, Bob Dylan. This is a personal note. I want to... A Jewish boy from up in Hibbing, Minnesota, and a Robert Zimmerman makes good. When I was a student in the 60s, and I had a radio show, and my theme music was Times Are Changing. So it goes back a long way.
Wow.
So,
look at you, you old hippie.
That was Norm. Norm was one of those guys. But now, of course, has had a tremendous career from a lawyer, DA office, a politician. And your state, Norm, which you've proudly served for so long, is on fire between George Floyd, that trial, now going into week number 3, and what happened now with Dante Wright. It's got to be heartbreaking for you, Norm, to see what's going on in your own state.
It is heartbreaking. It is a tragedy. Right, there are tragedies all over, but this is a tragedy in the heart of you know, one of the most sensitive trials that were right. The Chauvin trial, prosecution ended their case yesterday. This is, you know, obviously the country got torn apart, not just Minneapolis. But at the heart of the right there is Minneapolis. Trial going on 10 miles, you know, northwest, right, is Brooklyn Center. And this is a tragedy. My heart bleeds for the Wright family. By the way, and I have to say, my heart bleeds for the family of the cop, Kimberly Potter, 26-year, you know, veteran, a mother of two, and by every indication, a good cop. And, you know, apparently, you know, tasers are, have pistol grips and shaped like tasers, and you should be trained to know that one's on your left side and one's on your right, and, you know, you put it on your non-dominant side. But it appears that this was a tragic accident. But a tragic accident with another young black man was killed, and I grieve for his family. But I also have to tell you, I do grieve for the family of the cop whose, you know, life has been forever changed by a terrible mistake. But it is what it is. The fires, the flames were lit. They didn't burn as bright as in past instances. It's in part, you know, circumstance. There's such a heavy police presence in the Twin Cities now that things weren't allowed to get out of control. You got National Guard, you got state troopers, you got multiple police departments. So yeah, there were, I think, 11 arrested or 13 arrested in Minneapolis. There was some looting in St. Paul, but relatively minor. Clash at the police station, Brooklyn Center, but you have this heavy police presence throughout the Twin Cities, curfew at 7 p.m. And so, you know, it was relatively calmed down. How the rest of the country reacts, it will be, and Bernie, will be another story.
Yes, indeed. Norm, former Senator Norm Coleman from the great state of Minnesota, Sid's cousin. Norm, listen, there's a narrative out there, of course, that the police are targeting black men, gunning them down in cold blood, which is nonsense, of course. I mean, 400 whites annually are killed by cops. 200 blacks annually are killed by cops. So more whites are killed than blacks. And they're mostly all these perps are mostly armed, resisting arrest. And this is out of over 10 million exchanges and stops, et cetera, from the police. But the media seizes on this stuff. And it seems like to me like the media is responsible for stoking division and wanting anarchy or something. It's a sick thing. I don't know. Maybe it's ratings. I don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah, I don't know what they want. Listen, there is a problem, okay, but not at the magnitude that those who want to stoke the flames, you know, present. You know, cops are not out there. They're not out there, you know, gunning down blacks. I don't think in my department that I ran when I was mayor and mayors in St. Paul, we ran the police department. I fired bad cops, okay? I fired bad cops. But I do not, I'm going to say this up front, I don't believe there's systematic racism in the police department that I ran. But unfortunately, when you have incidents like this, it does provide opportunity to stoke flames because it you know, how do you stop it from happening? This is really heartbreaking, gentlemen. This is a real tough one. You know, this kid appeared to be, this Dante Wright appeared to be a good kid.
No. Here we go again.
He had a warrant.
Yeah, that's right.
An extensive rap sheet.
Yeah, but it's pretty mine. I know it wasn't. Yeah, listen, he didn't deserve to die. That's
no, but listen, we said that all morning.
George Floyd didn't deserve to die. Neither did Jacob Blake or Daniel Prude. But the fact is, if we're going to be honest, none of these people were law-abiding citizens, including this kid who resisted arrest, jumped back in the car and tried to drive away.
Yeah. This is a terrible tragedy. And as I said before, my heart bleeds both for the family, you know, this kid's family, Dante Wright's name. It also bleeds for Kimberly Potter's family. Okay. This is a woman who's 26 years. Apparently, we don't have all the facts yet, but she may have been out there Sunday training another officer. You know, this was a sterling officer, a good cop. And you got your taser, which, by the way, is pistol gripped. Handgun shaped, okay, and you got one on your left side and one on your right side, and she pulls it out and yells, taser, 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 and this kid dies, and her life is forever changed. So let's hope, you know, I don't know what the answer is for this not to, you know, not to happen again. We certainly, everybody
is if the kid would have just stayed outside the car. And by the way, the initial arresting officer was black and kept his hands behind his head and didn't try to jump back into the car and drive away. Would the kid be dead today? The answer is no.
Listen, I tell my kids, you know, they're a little older now, they're in their 30s, but when they were in their 20s, my advice to them was if a cop ever pulls you over, you put your hands on the wheel and you listen and you say, yes, sir, no, sir. Okay, that if you do that, then you don't have this. However, you know, it is fair to say that these stops shouldn't result in death. And so this is a tragedy. It is what it is. And as we started this conversation, at a time when tempers are so, you know, the nerves are so frayed, you've got the Chauvin trial. The defense begins today. It's probably not going to go that long. And then we'll see what happens as the result of that. Again, Minneapolis, St. Paul are probably better prepared than New York, Chicago, Portland, and the places that have been torn apart by peaceful demonstrators, but by thugs. Right. Folks taking advantage of these situations, you know, to, you know, pick up a 55, 65 inch, you know, TV, all the TVs, large TV, the big TVs were all, you know, taken from the Target or whatever. That's what went. So that's not social justice. Violence, vandalism, thuggery.
They're emboldened by people like Kamala Harris bailing them out. You know, it's saying, hey, I kind of encourage what you're doing. They're emboldened by that. But Norm Coleman, I do want to, in the remaining minutes that we have, ask you about the city manager of Brooklyn Center. He said, he's a black man, he said that the officer deserves due process. She shouldn't be fired right away. The mayor came out and said she should be fired right away. And what did he do? He fired the city manager for saying that she deserves due process. I mean, and the due process is controversial all of a sudden in this country?
You know, there's just a craziness that and, you know, what makes America great is rule of law. It's something we all live by. We're supposed to live by. You're one of the city council members who voted to sustain the firing. Said I did it because I was afraid of personal violence against me and my family if I didn't do that. What the heck is that, gentlemen?
So if we're going
down that street, listen, I'm a believer in innocent until proven guilty. I'm a believer in due process. I'm a believer in get out the facts and then you can respond. But this craziness of where we've kind of cast that. Listen, we saw that. It's a whole other world. We saw that with Brett Kavanaugh and the Supreme Court nomination.
Right.
Okay. You know, if you're a Democrat, you get accused of things that Kavanaugh accused of, then you got due process, you know. But if you're a Republican, it was tossed out the window. So we've seen a lot of that, you know, in the last couple of years, some of it on the political side, some of the cancel culture side, and even this incident here where you got what everyone said was an outstanding city manager, and a city council member says, I voted to get rid of him because I was afraid of violence against me and my family. That shouldn't be in America.
That doesn't bode well for the jury's verdict when it comes to the George Floyd trial, because they may feel the same exact way. Hey, 60 seconds to go. I know you got an important phone call in 6 minutes. On a much lighter note, Norm Coleman, what do you think about Alex Rodriguez buying your basketball team?
Well, I know Glenn Taylor. He's a friend of mine, but boy, that was a lousy managed franchise. Anything's got to be better than what we got.
Fair enough. There you go.
Anyway, now the question is, will they stay in Minnesota? You know, I understand he's got there a lot of connections with Seattle there, and I don't know what they got.
Oh.
But I got to tell you that the Timberwolves they've made bad decisions. They play bad basketball. I think change seems like a good thing from my perspective, but we'll see how it plays out for Minnesota.
Norm, we love you. Great job as always. You're a magnificent guest, and thank you so much for hopping on. Good luck on your phone call at 9, and we'll talk to you later. Yeah, we love you.
Thank you.
The very best, gentlemen. Take care.
All right. There he is, the great Norm Coleman, live from the state of Minnesota. He's right. I mean, it is tragic for the Wright family. It's tragic for this.
Agree with him on all that stuff.
Yeah, it's all true.
Tragedy all around.
Right.
But it doesn't warrant, you know, destroying communities and businesses and looting and all that stuff. And some of the responses, again, about the city manager getting fired, but all the things that he said,
and
all
the
true.
Continuous demonization of police.
Of course.
I mean, that's the worst part of the whole thing. It continues.
And who does it hurt the most, Sydney? Hurts the blacks in the inner
city. That's right.
The people they purport to care about.
Yep. 9 o'clock hour is going to be very exciting. Charlie Kirk is going to be here, newest WABC talent, plus Beat Bernie. So keep it right here on a Tuesday. Charlie Kirk debuted yesterday here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. He's on after Brian Kilmeade right before Greg Kelly at noon. He's really good. He's going to join Bernie and I next hour. Also, Beat Bernie. Your chance at a $100 gift card and a Barry House coffee mug. All that coming up next hour, only here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. But I'll see if I can use it for the weekend or a one-night stand. Hold me now. Oh, hold me now. Till this hour. Actually sang. This is Van Diemen's Land, The Edge, and you too.
To be from
I love this song. Anyway, welcome back to the final hour of Bernie and Sid today. And again, if you've been listening all morning long, you know that there are three folks in particular in our crosshairs today. New York Post sports columnist Ken Davidoff, who you can easily replace the name David with jerk. You know what that spells. Because that's what he is and always has been. Never liked the guy, never liked me. So his article today, giving the Yankees credit for allowing Aaron Hicks, who's making millions of dollars, to stay home because he was too distraught over the Dante Wright shooting in a different state to play baseball, goes to show you what a liberal, pansy, wussy boy dick Ken Davidoff is.
And a callous SOB as well. I don't see any of these people, Aaron Hicks or Ken Davidoff, talking about the, again, the 2-year-old who was shot in Newark, or the 12-year-old who was shot in the chest, or the 1-year-old who was shot and killed in Brooklyn, about 6 months ago?
Yeah, none of it.
None of that. Or Brandon Hendricks up in the Bronx. Did Ken Davidoff write about that? Did Aaron Hicks sit out a game or send out a tweet about that?
No.
I don't think he did.
Or the cops that get killed every day. So they got a beating from us today, and they all deserve it. Ken Davidoff, especially, he's always been that way. One more quick thing before we get to a meat of the day here, Bernie. I've been watching a lot of this on New York One. This affects you in a big, big way, not me. And that is all these toll hikes, which I think happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Did they hurt you at all? Or
yeah, they went up. They did. They went up less than a dollar each way. But that's, I mean, it's, you know.
It adds up.
It adds up, especially if you have a business. That's where it really kills you. If you have a business and you're in the city and you're crossing bridges, it's all the non-Hudson crossings. It's wherever there's a toll, the Verrazano, the Queens Midtown Tunnel. I come over the 59th Street Bridge, so sometimes take the Queens Midtown Tunnel. God. But, they're raising, even though we got billions and billions and billions of dollars from the federal government,
right,
they're still raising taxes, raising tolls. That's because Cuomo screwed up this state so bad. That nothing is enough.
And I'm sick of hearing about the RFK Bridge. No one knows what that is. Nobody. And then yesterday on New York One, this young, cute girl, Lindsay Tushman, going on and on about the Hugh Carey Tunnel. No one's ever heard of that. It's the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel.
Honestly,
what Hugh Carey Tunnel?
If that was a question on Beat Bernie today, what is the Hugh Carey Tunnel? I would have got it wrong.
Oh, really?
I did not know it was the Hugh Carey Tunnel.
Well, I go to Brooklyn a lot, so I know.
I had no idea.
Really?
No.
It's the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel.
Of course.
No one calls it the Hugh Carey Tunnel.
And it's the 59th Street Bridge, all due respect to Ed Koch, who I loved.
Yep.
But it ain't the RFK Bridge. It ain't the Mario Cuomo Bridge.
Which one's the Triborough now?
That is the Robert Kennedy.
That's Robert Kennedy.
What they try to call the RFK.
Come on, enough of this.
But enough of this is right. Unless, of again, as I said before, these guys, politicians should be dead 100 years. There should be total unanimity on who the bridges are named after or the tunnels.
I agree with you.
Complete and total unanimity. I mean,
yes.
Above and beyond, like Abe Lincoln type statesmen, not to some of these local, like RFK. There's a lot of people who hated RFK.
A lot of people, especially the guy that shot him.
And a lot of people who didn't like Mario Cuomo.
Oh, that's true.
I didn't dislike him, but
that's fine. Who cares, right?
It's too recent, right?
Yeah, and let's go back to
plus his son. You can't have your a family member name a public bridge.
That I agree.
That's
with
life.
Yourself. That's not fair. And
who cares?
Go back to instead of Citi Field, go back to Shea Stadium. Otherwise, I'm done. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Your boy Jason Whitlock. He's with the, what is it, OutKickTheCoverage.com, I think it's
now
called?
Now it's just called OutKick.
OutKick. OutKick.com. Anyway, we told you about, and you saw it, everybody saw this, this Black Lives Matter terrorist Marxist group. Well, the lesbian Marxist woman who runs it, she actually bought a bunch of homes. Now, this is typical of socialists, Marxists. This is what they do. It's rules for thee, but not for me. They don't, you know, it's something that Stalin would do. It's something that Fidel Castro would do. She bought mansions in L.A. in white neighborhoods, of course. She bought like three mansions in L.A. She had a house. It turns out it came out overnight. A house in Georgia with a private airstrip on it. She was looking to buy property in the Bahamas near where Tiger Woods has property to give you an idea of the expense that it would incur her. Anyway, and she's a Marxist. That's because Black Lives Matter got $90 million from these cowardly corporations, and they're squandering it. Again, all the aforementioned kids I talked about getting shot all over the place in these inner cities, and adults as well. I mean, everybody. The inner cities are suffering big time now. The crime spikes are in the inner cities mostly. That's where they are. And it's all because of the demonization of cops because of Black Lives Matter. Now, your boy Jason Whitlock, he came out and he criticized this Patrice Cullors for buying all these homes. He criticized Black Lives Matter, and he's done it many, many times before. But apparently this was one toke over the line for Twitter because they suspended his account.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, he criticized her online on Twitter. I think other people did, too, and got suspended as well. I'm not sure, but Jason Whitlock did, and he said this about that.
I'm not running to go post Twitter bail when I did nothing wrong. I actually saw it someplace else on Friday and posted a link to, you know, her buying this $1.4 million house. The house cost $1.4 million. And Topanga has a black population of 1.4%. She's going to have plenty of white cops and white people to complain about. And so I just find it hypocritical. And so I posted the link and said she's with her people. They just put me in Twitter jail over my tweet.
Yeah. So they, I mean, this is the kind of society we live in. Of course, Twitter is a private enterprise. However, spare me. They are the platform that is censorship, and it's really gross. We'll talk to Charlie Kirk a little bit more about that. Our friend Curtis Sliwa, our boy, a colleague who's now running for mayor, he's come out with, he wants to end tax exemptions for New York City universities and for Madison Square Garden use that money to refund the police. A brilliant idea, Curtis Sliwa, I think, anyway. Greg Kelly, he's on from 1 to 3 here. Told you earlier about this soldier down in Windsor, Virginia. Yep. Windsor, Virginia. He's wearing his fatigues. He's actually a second lieutenant. As low on the totem pole of officers as you can get. Still an officer, but he would not listen to the police. They pulled him over for faulty tags as well. He just bought a car, and instead of putting the all of a sudden it's tags, they're license plates. He had a paper license plate. Instead of putting it in the spot designated for license plates, he kept it behind a tinted window. And the cops wanted to pull him over for that, and he would not pull over. He complained. He said it was because, I wanted to go to a lit-up area. And he passed another lit-up area before he decided on the one he decided on. But in the meantime, he wouldn't comply, wouldn't turn the car off, wouldn't put his hands out of the car, and wouldn't get out of the car, et cetera, et cetera. And that was consuming all the news before the Minneapolis thing came out. And so I'm not going to play the clips. I played them earlier of him actually not complying, complying, folks.
Right.
If you comply, you will not die.
Most of the
time. If you don't comply, you might die.
Like Dante Wright.
Right. And like this guy here, he ended up getting, he ended up getting pepper sprayed in the face because he wouldn't comply. Of course, the officer that got fired the officer involved, well, he was a Latino. That was an inconvenient fact for the media. However, they harped on the fact that he was serving our country, and these, look what these cops did. Well, this is the quote of the day, or the clip of the day, as far as I'm concerned, from Greg Kelly, who's on here from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. Greg Kelly's great. He's also at Newsmax. This is what he said about the guy and the fact that he was wearing a uniform and he's serving this country. Greg Kelly served in Iraq. He flew a plane. Listen to him.
Get out of the car now!
I'm serving this country, and this is how I'm treated?
You're still subject to our laws, Second Lieutenant Nazario.
I don't think being in uniform puts you above anybody. It doesn't. You're actually subjected to more rules and regulations, base, off base. I was in the military. I got pulled over. I even had my license suspended once for going 75 and a 55. It's not a get out of jail or get out of a ticket card. It is not.
So good for Greg. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And it's right. Yeah. It's true. The guy wouldn't pull over, and he was being a smart ass. I don't care what fatigues you're wearing. You're in the United States Army. You know what? Lee Harvey Oswald was in the United States Marine Corps.
How'd that go?
That's what I'm saying. So the cop actually he actually explained to the officer after all was said and done, he's now in handcuffs. And now he's looking a little recalcitrant. The police officer actually explained to him why they did what they did. Take a listen.
We followed you for a mile and a half with lights and sirens on, and you didn't pull over. I understand you want to get to a well-lit area. I get that. But when we follow you that long, look at the climate this day and against everybody, against us, against y'all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not out to hurt you, and I know you don't want to hurt me. That's not what it's about. What it's about is making sure that everybody goes home at the end of the day. So when you don't stop and you continue to proceed, our suspicions are raised. What's going on in the car? What don't he want us to see?
Translation, the cops are afraid for their damn lives.
Yes, they are.
You got to comply. That's why you're in danger of getting hurt, because they are afraid. You see them getting killed.
They should be afraid. They get roughed up and killed and at the very least spit on and ridiculed every day in America. It's a very scary job. Hey, by the way, talking about cops, Brian Sicknick, the cop who was killed at the Capitol riot. Well, there was a guy that was accused of killing him. Turns out, I don't think the guy did it, but that's not the biggest story. The biggest story is that guy hired yesterday Joe Tacopina to represent him. In his defense, they say he killed Sicknick. He says he didn't.
It's a question mark in my mind. Who killed Brian Sicknick?
It's a big question mark, but I guess.
I didn't know they charged anybody.
Well, it's what Tacopina sent me yesterday.
By the way, who killed Ashley Babbitt? Do we know that yet?
We don't know that. It says
no,
here,
don't, right?
A rioter accused of bear spraying U.S. Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick has retained a lawyer known for repping NFL owner Dan Snyder, former Yankee Alex Rodriguez, and rapper Meek Mill, among other celebrity candidates, clients, I should say. This guy hired Tacopina yesterday.
Wow.
Tac is in Italy this week. He'll be back next week in studio. Tell us about this case.
I like that.
Very cool. All right, coming up next, Bernie mentioned it. He debuted yesterday on WABC. He's a really smart guy. People love him out there. Charlie Kirk makes his debut on the Bernie and Sid Show next. So I said yesterday that before we get to Charlie Kirk, calling in momentarily, that like my wife and my daughter and so many of you ladies out there, you tend to do this really annoying thing, which is you take your birthday, which is one day, and mine is going to be Monday. I'll be 54, God willing, if I make it to Monday. But you take this one day, this birthday phenomenon, and you make it into a week or a month. My daughter Ava just finished her birthday month. It cost me enough to send the kid to Harvard. I swear to God. So I said yesterday to Bernie, Matt, and John, and Sarah, I'm going to celebrate a birthday week. Screw it. Here I go. And everybody wished me a happy birthday yesterday. Well, now I'm getting gifts. What is this? Come in here, John, quickly. This is Lisa Ganji. She's a loyal, loyal fan of the Bernie and Sid Show. She's like a real, like a CSI detective on Long Island. Like, she dead bodies and stuff. It's like a real job. Like you and I.
Lisa Ganji.
Yes.
Do I know her?
Yeah, she follows you on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I actually met her, I believe.
You did? I never met her. But she sent this to the station today. It's my first birthday gift, 6 days before John is opening it.
Nice.
Now, put a mask on. What if it's food or something? Put a mask on. I'm kidding, of course. God, I'm only kidding.
Nice little letter here.
I don't have to read everything. Just what is it? What's inside the box? What's in the box?
Oh, we got
M&Ms. Oh, no, those are not just M&Ms, John. What are the colors of those M&Ms?
Blue and orange.
She's a season ticket holder for the Mets. So those are Met M&Ms.
They say words on them. They say WABC on them.
No, they don't.
I swear to God. They say WABC. They say Sydney.
What?
They say Dave Busco.
Dave Busco? That's my character in Gravesend.
There you go.
This is
Gravesend?
To call it a thoughtful gift is an understatement.
Oh, my God.
Well,
that's really nice.
Good luck with the diabetes.
Well, thank you, Lisa. That is the that's a really nice gift. M&Ms with words on them. Gravesend, Dave Busco, Sydney, WABC, Bernie and Sid. So thank you for that. That's the first, hopefully, of many. I'm not encouraging folks to send gifts. That would be very chazish, very gavonish. You know, that would be playing to the stereotype, if you will. But if you want to send a gift, it's 830. Yeah. Hey, now. So Charlie hasn't called in yet.
By the way, did you see Geraldo on TV last night with Dan Bongino?
Did they fight again?
Let me just tell you this.
No, did they fight again?
It's time for Geraldo to, and I love Geraldo.
Uh-oh.
He got slapped around by Dan Bongino.
But always.
And he looked bad. He looked terrible. He came off sounding terribly. And Bongino just put him in his place, and it was brutal.
Dan always kicks his ass, let's be honest. Always.
But this time was, he stomped him.
But what was Geraldo trying to defend this time?
He's trying to defend the kid,
Dante Wright?
The shooting that was part of a pattern or something.
Oh,
like
shut
that.
Up.
Yeah, that's believe it or not, that's what
shut
he was
up.
Trying to. When you don't have a leg to stand on, you get slapped around.
Well, he does have a bad leg.
Well, he has two bad feet. Yeah. Two ways. He wears, he's got, he had a bad operation.
Well, somebody explained to Geraldo Rivera.
When you're on the side of
right,
it's easy to get, to slap somebody around.
When there's millions, like 10 million, take a listen to this number for a second, folks. 10 million interactions a year between police and civilians. And a lot of those are black because, again, at the risk of upsetting people, we're going to tell you the truth, blacks commit more crimes per capita than any group in this country by a wide margin. And yet the number of blacks that are killed every year by police are less than like 20. And there's millions and millions of interactions. So for Geraldo to say it's a pattern, or anybody in the media, is so irresponsible and just adds to the division and the hate that has enveloped this country because of fake news.
So, yeah, we end up talking about stupid things like this narrative that there's an epidemic of police shooting down black people in the streets.
Not true.
Instead of having real conversations about race, like why? Is there a disproportionate amount of crimes committed by black people in the street? Why?
Because white people put them in a position where they can't succeed.
Why?
That's what you're going to hear.
Why do Asians, people of color, I'm talking about Indians, Pakistanis, people from China, or Korea, Vietnam, why do they come here? They don't speak the language. They're people of color, and they succeed.
Because the government doesn't allow drugs to infiltrate their communities. And they don't put bad schools in their communities. And
they go to the blacks. They go to the public schools here, the same schools. They pass the specialized tests.
I ask these questions too, and I'm giving you the answers that I get.
Right.
Which make me really angry.
Exactly. And they're not answers at all. They're not. So in other words, we're hesitant to have the real conversations about race that we should be having. And not, I mean, blacks, Jumaane Williams passed the specialized test for high schools. Until the 1960s, really, when things started to go downhill with the black family, blacks were doing well academically.
Yeah.
But since then, the whole civil rights thing changed. Thank God, all that Jim Crow stuff went away. Thank God.
Right.
But the government sort of took over for the father.
Right. Exactly.
And of course, everything, all this nonsense about, you know, you're oppressed and you can't make it. Wow. Poisoning kids, this critical race theory. That all white people are racist, so don't even try. We're just going to give it to you. Don't try, because you're not going to make it in this ugly white racist world. This critical race theory crap that just sprang up in the last year. I mean, all this stuff is poisonous. And then, of course, you know, you talk about DMX and the culture, the music, and glamorizing gun use and all that stuff.
I mean, New York won.
You want to have a difficult conversation or not?
We need to have that conversation. New York won does something. We got a break. We got Beat Bernie coming up. 1-800.
Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion on stage, performing pornography.
I know.
And they're getting awards for it. The record of the year is Wet Ass P Word.
I know. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. I was about to say New York won. They when they go to commercial break, they ask listeners to send in pictures of the city, which is very nice. And the last couple of days, because spring has sprung, lots of folks, Bernie, are sending in some of the trees, for example, in Riverside Park and Central Park are starting to bloom. Some of the flowers are starting to bloom. It's really lovely.
Yeah, that is nice.
It is very nice. And they end this commercial break last night with some mural somewhere in New York of DMX, as if, once again, he was Martin Luther King Jr., as if he was MLK. This drug, dealing basically lowlife, beating up on women and hating cops and impregnating women all over the world. And
I don't think he ever beat up women.
He didn't do that?
No.
Not that you know of.
No, he was never charged. Those allegations. No, he was. He celebrated the thug life. He really did, and that's the life he grew up in. I know exactly where he grew up in Yonkers, exactly. But you can't glamorize that stuff. That's the problem. He's dead. We'll give him props. He's dead. He put out some good music.
No, he didn't.
But whatever. Okay. So DMX. Look. Here's what I want to say about yesterday, last night.
Yeah.
I'm really relieved that there was no violence, in the city.
Me
know
too.
They blocked 7th Avenue. They blocked the Manhattan Bridge.
Yeah.
But the numbers were minimal.
Yeah.
And thank God for that.
Well, according to Norm Coleman, who joined us moments ago live from Minnesota, even in Minnesota, it wasn't that bad last night.
Right.
So that's heavy police presence seems to help. Oh, the heavy police presence. How about that, folks?
Yeah.
Yes, there's a good chance you'll make it home from work today, whether you're white, black, or yellow, because there's a heavy police presence.
Yes, remember I talked about the subway story, that people are not afraid to ride the subways because of COVID, because of the China virus. They're afraid because of crime.
Correct.
And safety.
Correct.
And they actually said in the report, in Bill Ritter's report, that people are glad to see cops.
Of course.
In the subway platforms.
Let me tell you something. COVID is the least of the issues on the subway. Between AIDS and tuberculosis and who knows what these homeless people have.
Shoved in front of a train on
right.
the tracks.
Yeah, that's going to kill you.
That's
exactly.
A little problem right there.
1-800-848-WABC. Your chance at a $100 gift card, a Barry House coffee mug, and most importantly, bragging rights to beat Bernie is coming up next.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
All righty, time to play Beat Bernie. Today's contestant out of Oceanside, retired NYPD. We love these guys. It's Dennis. Dennis, good morning, pal. How are you?
Hey, good morning, bro. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You can call me, sir.
Good.
Everything all right? How long did you work with you? How long were you a cop for? How long?
Just 20 years.
Just 20 years. All right. Well, thank you for your service. You're a hero, and thank you for playing today's game. You ready to play?
Yes, sir.
At stake today, a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug. So a lot of good prizes coming your way, if, in fact, you can beat Bernie. Dennis, here's question number one. From 1970 to 1976, the Library of Congress funded the publication of what magazine in Braille, despite most of its content being cartoons and pictures?
Oh, that would be... That would be...
Need an answer now. Give me magazine. Quick. Want a hint? Want a hint?
Wrong. Get a hint.
It's too late. Your hint was going to be Hugh Hefner.
Oh, okay.
The Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo ended the Mexican War in 1848. And in its terms, Mexico ceded 55% of its territory, which included part of California and the entirety of what other state?
New Mexico.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Of the days of the week, which comes last alphabetically?
Thursday.
Oh, no.
Saturday.
No. Neither one. Come on, Dennis.
Sunday. Oh, man, it's early.
Bro, how about Wednesday? How about a W?
Oh, boy, that's right. It is. Okay, you got me there.
Oh, Tuesday. All right, it's number four. One of the worst nuclear accidents in history took place in March of 2011 at what Japanese power plant?
Oh, Nagasaki? No.
Wrong. You're two-legged back.
What did you call it? Nagasaki? They did drop the atomic bomb at Nagasaki.
Yeah, they did. What was the one in Russia? I was thinking of that one, but go ahead.
This is, you're thinking about Chernobyl, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
this is, Three Mile Island here in the United States. This should have been...
This is bad.
Fukushima. Yes. Just so you know, which is almost a curse word. All right, you've gotten, this is bad.
One
out of four. Okay, get two right here. You'll get this, I promise.
Come on.
From 1980 until 2005, Ted Koppel anchored what ABC late-night television program? You got this. Started
with
the
late night with
come on, so the Iran hostage crisis.
Evening news. They oh man, I'm on a freeze. Nightline with Ted Koppel.
Did he say Nightline with Ted? I'm just kidding. He's a cop anyway. God. All right,
hey,
Dennis. We're giving you two right, okay?
Can I give you? Can I give a shout out before we go to the other guy?
Yeah, of course.
My old partner did a great job out there. J.R. Recupero, Frank Recupero in Suffolk County. He helped that cop who was stabbed in the leg. He caught the guy. He was coming out of dinner. Great job, Frank. I miss working with you. Did a great job.
Shout outs like that, we always welcome on this show. Always. All right. Some guy's upset with me because he says, I understand you're upset with Aaron Hicks, but why DMX? Really? I'm not upset with DMX. I'm upset with the
coverage.
The coverage and right. And white people bending
saying.
Over backwards.
DMX was
gross.
DMX. That's what he was. That's why I say I like DMX.
I didn't. Sucked.
But the coverage is just way over
gross.
The top. He's not
gross.
The second coming of Stevie Wonder or Martin Luther
right,
King.
Right, exactly.
But I liked him. He was what he was, and that's what he was.
Okay. You need three right to win today's game, okay?
And some of his music was pretty good.
I like two of his songs, too. From 1970 to 1976, the Library of Congress funded the publication of what magazine in Braille, despite most of its content being cartoons and pictures?
From 70 to 76, who funded it?
No, what was the name of the magazine? It was in Braille, but most of its content was pictures.
But it's, you said somebody funded it.
Yeah, the Library of Congress.
And most of its content was pictures.
Come on, bro. Vagina. What?
It's got to be a comic book, but I got...
Yeah. Really? A comic book with vagina? I didn't know they had that. Playboy!
I
give you vagina, you give me a comic book?
I didn't hear you say vagina.
What kind of sick comic books do you read?
I did not hear you say vagina.
Oh, my God.
I did not hear you say vagina.
I've got Batman porn.
I didn't hear you say vagina.
Juliet got it right away. Thank you, Jules. Okay.
I wasn't listening. I was trying to concentrate. What the hell with comic book? What would they put? The pictures, whatever. Okay, I got it wrong.
Number two.
I got it wrong.
Well, now you
got
to get three of the next four
right
to win. He got it wrong, too. What did he say, this guy?
I forget. Not something.
Did they really put a Playboy in Braille?
Yes.
Because of its content. Yes. They had, I guess, back in the 70s, there was more, you know, editorials and you know.
Oh, that's right. By the way, yeah. That's people bought Playboy to read it.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. The Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo ended the Mexican War in 1848. And in its terms, Mexico ceded 55% of its territory, which included part of California and the entirety of what other state?
The state, the Lone Star State.
Texas? You're in trouble.
What is it? Arizona.
Nope. You want a hint? Imus.
Really, New Mexico?
Yes. Very good.
And that's not along the border.
He got that one right, Dennis. Dennis got that right?
Yeah, it's on the border there.
No, it's not. Arizona's on the border. New Mexico is north.
Where did I say on the border? I didn't say on the border here.
You're right. You didn't say on the border. But
No. I'm saying that...
sure it's New Mexico? Well, Dennis got it right. Bernie got it wrong. Let's move on. Other days of the week... It's funny the way he answered this. He got all wrong except for one. Other days of the week, which comes last alphabetically?
Of all the days in the week, which comes last alphabetically?
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Well, you can't do it like that. Give me an answer.
Thursday, Friday.
Come on, give me an answer.
Saturday. It's got to be Wednesday.
Right. He said every other day.
Well, I'm not
Tuesday.
I'm not getting
Thursday.
Any more snap answers. I'm going to think about these things for a while.
All right.
For
think
a second.
This.
Just
think
like they
this,
do on Regis.
Yeah, but they have 1 second. You just named every day of the week.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I'm entitled to.
All right. One of the worst nuclear accidents, Bernie, in history, took place in March of 2011 at what Japanese power plant?
Oh, yes.
See, you thought Chernobyl.
I was thinking Chernobyl.
That's what he
thought. No, I was thinking actually Three Mile Island because
right.
We did the Chernobyl question while you were away.
Okay. This is Japan.
This was...
Be careful how you say.
Can I say Fukushima?
Yes! So now... he gets this right, he wins, right? 2-2.
Correct, yes.
And he's going to get this. It's easy. From 1980 until 2005, Ted Koppel anchored what ABC late-night television program? Too easy.
The Tonight Show.
Go with that.
No, it was Nightline.
3-2, your final score. Bernie gets the win. Bernie, say hello to Dennis from Oceanside, a retired New York City police officer.
What's up, Dennis?
Bernie, I wish I played yesterday. I did better. I had confidence yesterday, but today was a bad day. Well, good job.
Good job out of you. Listen, retired NYPD. By the way, yesterday I worked out in the New York Sports Club there in Oceanside. I don't know if you remember or not.
Yeah. My kids go there. Yep.
Yeah. So where did you serve in the NYPD, if I may ask, Dennis?
I retired out of the 8th Squad, but I started in Brooklyn in the 7-7 back in the day in the 80s. And then went to narcotics for a few years and then became a detective and went to the 8th Squad.
Well, good man. Thank you for your service. Did you know that woman, she was a NYPD female from Oceanside. She plotted to have her husband whacked. And she's now in prison. Oh, she's in jail.
Is that true?
I didn't know about her, but I read about her. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's a little extreme.
I thought there might be a fraternity of ex-NYPD out, or NYPD. And final question, Dennis, from Oceanside, my neighbor, is what do you think of the situation with the police today, the way they're demonized? I mean, cops that we know are fleeing left and right from the NYPD. Would you do the same these days?
No, it's a tougher job today. It's so in the media. It's a harder job. I think it's a harder job.
It's a harder job. But you're not a quitter. You would stick it out.
No, I'd stick it out. I love the job. Listen, my old partner, look, Frank Cooper, out there in Long Island. He was having dinner, came out, and caught that guy, stabbed that Suffolk County guy in the leg. He did a great job, in great shape.
Wow, did you say he was your partner?
Yeah, we worked for 12 years together. Great guy.
Wow, I remember the guys, it was right outside his house. Yeah, he saved that cop's life.
He did. Frank, way to go, Frank. Well, thank you, Dennis, and thank you, Frank, and all you guys and ladies for your continued courageous work. Thank you for playing today's game, and have yourself a nice Tuesday.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy the show. Have a great day.
All right, you too. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We'll close it the way we do every day now. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid. Is next.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Hi. Hey now. Love. Come on. Here is the WABC. Leave a song playing. I like this song. The WABC Radio Question of the Day, which you can find every day at WABCRadio.com. Johnson & Johnson just paused their COVID-19 vaccine. Are you worried about side effects? Yes or no? No, I welcome side effects. I like to, grow
well, no, here's the thing, though. The point is
glow in the dark.
You have millions of people have gotten the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
7 million to be exact.
Right. You know how many people have come down with the side effect with the blood clot that we're talking about? 6.
Yeah.
6 people out of 7 million.
It's a very small percentage.
Is that worth stopping the vaccine?
Of course not.
Are there some more sinister, nefarious forces at work here?
Forces?
They don't want us to reach herd immunity. They want us to stay under their petty tyrant, tyrannical control.
Well, there's no doubt about
that. Is that what's happening here?
Yes. Yes, they like telling you what to do, and that's why I get angry when you wear a mask, because they're telling you to do it based on zero science. Zero. But you keep doing it. And when you do it, you empower these people, and then you complain about these people. Well, which one is it?
Listen, I have to wear a mask in the gym, bro. And I have to wear a mask. I have to wear a mask here at work because they told me to.
No, you don't.
As soon as somebody gets the virus and they sue the station, they're going to come after you.
They can't sue the station for getting a virus.
Listen, if you don't comply, you don't get in any trouble.
I mean, what's
the
matter?
The company tells me.
You can't complain.
If I get an email from HR. No, I don't wear it outside.
Well, you can't. No, you can't complain.
You have to wear it in the gym. You have to wear it in your place of employment.
I took it off in the gym yesterday. New York Sports Club.
What am I doing here?
They would throw you out of my sports club.
Oh, they would?
Yeah.
Well, you told me they were going to throw me out of here, too. So when I thought,
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
Well, look, I didn't say they were going to throw you out. I was just curious to see how they would handle
How's it going? How many people were in the meeting yesterday after the show?
By the way,
you got to guess.
Our boss,
12, 15?
Our boss wasn't wearing a mask either.
Oh, don't out him.
So maybe I don't have to wear one.
You know, when I go upstairs and I have these the big meetings with John Katzimatidis, And yesterday, for example, there was like 20 people in there as we're getting ready for this big Israeli event coming up on Thursday. There were three or four of us without masks on, including the boss. So I'm just saying. And then somebody walks in, inevitably, and goes, put your mask on. And we go, okay, fine. But no one's inclined anymore to sit in a meeting or be somewhere and wear a mask because it's, quite frankly, it's more unhealthy for you than the risk of getting the COVID.
I'm not sure. If I'm sitting in a room with 15 people and some of them, of all backgrounds and ages.
What?
Here I am at the very end of this pandemic. I've already gotten one vaccine shot.
You have turned into such a... What happened to you?
Listen, it's just...
What's the matter with you?
It's just a reality.
What are you talking about?
In other words, I don't want to be...
You do cocaine for days at a time. You drink yourself silly. You don't worry about dying of a heart attack.
I want to get the second vaccine and be fully vaccinated without ever having gotten the virus.
I wish I was...
Since how I've gone this far...
I wish I was in the car with you and Carol when she had this initial conversation. That has turned you into this, I don't know what.
I don't want to be.
You're almost a liberal.
I don't want to be one of the last men to die on a battlefield.
Nothing can kill you, Bernie. Been around you for 30 years. Nothing can kill you.
Look.
Certainly not this virus.
The only time I wear the mask, for God's sakes, at the risk of repetition, is the gym and my place of employment.
Right.
That's it.
And sex. And during sex.
I just try to keep it real, babe. I don't do it at home. I don't. Well, when I go in the store, I do it.
More and more places before you know it.
I'm sorry. You do as well.
What do I do?
You wear it on the subway.
Nope.
Shop in a store, you wear a mask.
Nope. Didn't wear it in CVS last night, and I didn't realize it. I forgot about it when I got to the counter holding shampoo.
Yeah, because maybe you didn't realize it.
But
if you realized it, you would have put it on.
No, stop talking for me. I don't wear a mask. You do. That's fine.
I'm sorry.
You comply.
You wear it on the subway. You wear it in stores.
I don't.
You wear it in the gym because you have to.
You're funny. We're done for today. Have yourselves a great Tuesday.
Sorry,
put your mask on, folks.
You.
We got a great show coming up tomorrow. From all of us to all of you, enjoy your Tuesday in New York. Peace.
Peace.